The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And it is Wednesday, December 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, investigators in hazmat suits descended on a home in Warminster, Bucks County as part of a major drug investigation. It is not clear at this time how long the house has been on law enforcement's radar, but late Tuesday night, authorities began raiding the single-family home in the 600 block of Sherrill Drive. A broken window and a ripped window shade could be seen from the outside, along with some Christmas decorations that covered the front lawn. A huge white truck was parked in the driveway of the home, and the garage door was pulled open. Now, those in hazmat suits pulled out dozens of bags and boxes of unknown materials, and then camera crews were actually told to not get too close to the home due to the chemicals that could potentially be on the scene. So there's no word on if they were making something inside or they were just confiscating something inside, but there were hazmat crews in suits that went through this house.
So if you don't have a meth lab and you haven't put Christmas decorations up yet... Come on. I mean, they did it, right?
You know what? It makes me sad, though, because I thought the Christmas decoration, I'm like, there's probably kids in there, you know?
Or it's what you put up if you want to make sure that why would people have a meth lab go to the trouble of putting up Christmas decorations?
Yeah. That's a front, yeah.
Investigators remained at the home until about 5 o'clock this morning.
In fact, you should probably put up the most ridiculous Christmas Griswold decoration setup, and nobody's going to believe that you're cooking meth in there.
Get on that ABC show if you can. They love Christmas.
Yeah.
Except when you get too close to the baby Jesus and you see it's a bong.
Right.
Oh, geez, Steve. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll find out more as to what was happening inside of that house later today. The Deptford Township Police Department has released surveillance video of a vicious attack on three teenagers at the Deptford Mall over the weekend. The video shows one of the teens, Taylor McFadden, and her two friends walking to the car. So here's what happened. McFadden and her friends were walking back to the car. McFadden got into the car to get ready to leave, and her two friends were smoking cigarettes outside of the car. Minutes later, a white Pontiac drives up, seemingly waiting for the spot. The girl said that they waved the car on to let the driver know that they were not ready to leave. Cameras then capture four adults, two men and two women, slowly walking past the teens' cars. One of the victims, Alexandria DeRusso, is adamant that they never said anything to provoke the punches, but the group says that they heard something. They walked back over to them and started hitting them. The victims also alleged that the attackers shouted racist remarks. Both men are seen hitting the teens in the video while the woman pulls one of the girl's hair.
This brings up a point. Sometimes you go to your car and you're sitting and you're just going to, you're preparing for something. I think, and I'm trying to figure out what the protocol is. I believe the protocol is it's your spot until you drive the car out.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. The onus is not on you to get out as quickly as you can. You can be courteous if you want to, but if you have a legitimate reason to sit there, or you're going to eat your lunch, or you're loading up the car.
Yeah,
or
whatever, right.
Don't rush me.
I don't agree with don't rush you, especially during the holiday season. Like, I've gotten in my car and, you know, pulled out my phone to check, you know, my phone after I've gone shopping or whatever, and noticed that someone was waiting behind me, and I feel bad. I'm like, okay, sorry,
fine. That's a courteous thing. You're in the height of shopping. However, like in a parking lot out here, you know,
if you're eating your lunch or there's a woman that from our building that goes and naps in her car. Well, right. Pierre naps in his car sometimes too. Yeah. But like, yeah, I mean that you can't. I guess it's your spot.
Until you leave, it's your spot.
And it sounds like these people did the right thing in my mind, in that they waved them on
exactly,
saying I'm not leaving anytime soon. Don't waste your time here.
Right.
And I'm cool with that. But if you sit there
and don't let you know
and don't indicate, then I'm going to get pissed off.
I agree.
I'm not going to go over and beat you about the head. No. With blunt objects.
I don't even
like
know
that,
if these people were in that car though. That's the
no, they
thing.
Were. I just said that the driver got in and the two girls were smoking a cigarette on the outside and they waved.
That's
them
not
on.
What I'm saying. The people in the Pontiac that they waved on, were they the attackers?
That's what's believed. What yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. Either way, it happened to me yesterday. I pulled a U-turn because I saw a lady getting into her car. I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. And then she never came out of the parking spot. But I wasn't, like, pissy about it. What ended up happening is somebody else ended up backing out of a spot, and I got their spot.
That one.
Yeah, but, I mean, that thing of, like, well, because now I'm waiting. You have to leave.
But I don't
or
know
if you're going to sit. If you're going to sit, no, it's you know that's the not the way it works.
The second you pull away, they pull out. They're ready to leave.
And we have prime spots because we get in here early in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So people see us going to the car. It's like, oh boy. Yeah.
But what I don't know, or what I didn't know yesterday, and what you don't know as the person waiting for a spot, I didn't know if that lady was waiting for somebody in the store. You know, like maybe she had just gotten to her car first. Let me go warm the car up. I'll be in the car waiting for you. You know, and that could have been the situation, but I don't know that. So
the teen said that there was mall security nearby, or a mall security vehicle, but no one was inside of the vehicle. It's not known where the security guard was at the time. Police said the attackers fled the scene by car. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact the Deptford Township Police Department. Tiny Elfers Alley is one of the most popular tourist attractions in Philadelphia. More than 500,000 people visit the block each year, with its little row homes sitting neatly on both sides. With over 300 years of American history, Elfers Alley is known as America's oldest occupied residential street. The 32 historic homes date back to the early 1700s, and the oldest house is 139. Well, one of those houses is up for sale.
Wow.
The price?
Yeah.
$900,000.
Nice.
And it's, what is it, 1,000 square feet?
1,000 square feet.
Oh, my God.
So, Preston, and it's as you...
I had an apartment bigger than that at one time, probably. Yeah.
And it's appropriately to the time, so the rooms are all small. It's beautifully quaint. But... like us, we'd be like Herman Munster bumping into everything.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
So the owner is Alfred Krawitz, and he bought the house in 1975. He said that he did do some upgrades to it, so it has air conditioning, it has new plumbing, it even has a jacuzzi inside. The house is approximately 1,000 square feet of living space with two working fireplaces, and from every room, including the kitchen, you get a view of the old outhouse.
Do we know how much he paid for it in 1975?
I don't know. I don't have information. I'm not sure.
Just a few $1,000s, I would imagine.
It probably wasn't 900,000.
Not 900,000, that's for sure. He said it's been a lot of fun living there. Lots of tourists, nice people from other countries and other cities that come through. It is a busy street. He said, I've had the house for over 40 years. I just thought maybe the time is right to see if somebody else would like to enjoy it like I did.
Well, yeah, not for 900 grand.
And all those people, there are so many people around there. Like, you can't sleep in on a Saturday morning.
And how's parking?
Oh, it's
God, where do you park?
Non-existent, right?
Non-existent.
I guess you don't have a car if you live on that street. Or you have to, like, rent a garage or something.
Space,
yeah.
You know, it'd be a perfect place for a meth lab.
Oh, stop it. Oh, no, it would be a terrible place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It looks very historic and rustic.
Yep. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy. Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers, who have won 10 of their last 12 games, are at 14-1 at home, and they're in South Philly tonight again as they host the Brooklyn Nets. Overall, the Sixers are 19-9 on the season and tied for second place in the Eastern Conference, while the Nets are 10-18. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. The Flyers, who beat Buffalo 6-2 on Friday night and then lost to the Winnipeg Jets 7-1 the following night, continue their road trip through Western Canada with a game in Calgary tonight. The puck drops at 8:30 and will be broadcast on WMMR. In baseball news, the Phillies and outfielder Andrew McCutchen have agreed to a 3-year, $50 million contract. The 32-year-old is a 5-time All-Star and won the National League MVP in 2013. In 155 games last season with San Francisco Giants and the New York Yankees, he batted .255 with 20 homers and 65 RBIs. The Eagles have placed both Corey Clement and Josh Sweet on the injured reserve, which means their seasons are finished.
But
the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
That's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kath. I'll first mention that Mr. McElwain is out today, which is no surprise. He sounds...
No, it's not that.
Remember, it was his voice.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
His throat and nose and all that. So he sounded terrible yesterday.
I know. I felt bad every time he went to speak yesterday. I laughed because it was really bad.
So Marissa is sitting in his area this morning. It'll be on his mic. Make sure you disinfect that area.
Oh, she was disinfecting the hell
and
out
by
of
the
it.
Way, right. Hold on. And then Kathy... Did you happen to tidy up your area at all today?
What?
Oh, there was we had a special guest on your microphone yesterday.
Oh,
who was
God,
recording.
Give me that. I saw him yesterday.
Spray it. Gary Lauer was using Kathy's microphone yesterday.
All over my mic.
For like, I mean, so an we hour. Had to do about 8 lines, so it took about an hour.
You know what? I was rushing around yesterday. I was so busy yesterday, and I feel bad because I do love Gary, and I love to chat with him. But when you talk with him, it takes a little while.
You have to work it.
You can't just quick say hi.
Nope.
So I saw him, and I kind of had to do like a runaround when he was standing in the kitchen. I was like, I can't get into this conversation now.
Did he try to give you a big kiss goodbye?
No, I didn't see him.
That?
I didn't see him. So
didn't see him at all.
Then when I had a little bit of time, I came back, and you guys were recording, so I wasn't going to come in.
I always think of the Beverly D'Angelo, Cousin Eddie.
When he goes there for the kiss?
Leaning back.
At the camp out, he kissed my ear because I just went. I was like, I don't want that like wetness all over my face right now. So I just went all the way in and I got it on the ear.
We have a special feature that is going to highlight Gary Lauer in a performance. And we will have that for you in the next few days, probably. So
I can't wait.
I'm shooting for a Friday.
Next week?
Yeah,
for Friday.
We could probably have it by Friday.
Yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait to hear this.
I got to drive him home yesterday.
Oh, how was it?
He is really a sweetheart.
He really is.
His heart is in the right place. He's just a lot of stuff happens. So he was explaining something to me, you know, and I know I should have understood what he was saying, but I was trying so hard. But
did it have anything to do with the daisy chain?
Oh, by the way, Preston, that made its way into this thing, you know, by the way.
Oh, that's great.
You just said it last minute, so I added it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Does anybody know, like, Gary's actual story? I'd love to know Gary's story, like his life.
You know what?
Story.
We should ask him about that one day.
Well, perhaps will he not be in attendance for the Christmas miracle?
He will.
He will.
Should
we don't
be.
Have, yeah.
We don't have that much time.
I think we take the first half of the show and have Keith Morrison do a little and then the town turned around with the birth of a young child.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, clean up your area, Kathy. Get disinfected.
Yes, okay.
Some things taking place today. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day this morning. We do that on Wednesday mornings. Mr. Skin, his top 10 nude scenes of 2018 are out. And we love talking to Mr. Skin. He is the most comprehensive nudity in film expert that we've ever met in the world.
He is absolutely a savant, and then some.
Yeah.
And I was going through the list of the selections, and I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, and we also have two members of your Philadelphia Wing stopping by. Their season opener is on Saturday. And here we go again. Wings lacrosse back in Philadelphia again, which is really cool.
I'd say that over the years, my wife and I attended more Wings games. The Wings and the Flyers were the games that she and I have ended up going to the most over the years.
So they are stopping in today, and we're excited to meet them. We also have coming in today Duffer's Tavern, and there's a Bud Light Philly tour tomorrow night. Casey Boy is going to be there. The Glenn Mills location right there on Route 1?
350. No, Baltimore no, Park. That's no. 352 and 926.
All right. Yeah. That's the original, right?
Yeah. So we are, super hype about the Eagles this season. So please come on out and hang with us and win tickets to the final home game of the season.
You know what? It's that you've done enough of them to know they're always a blast, those events.
They really are.
And we also have a secret text word today.
So yeah.
We have a chance to win tickets to see a guy who's been here in our studio before, Dane Cook. Saturday, March 30th, he's going to be playing at the Met. And the Met has opened up a whole new... There are so many shows coming to that venue.
Yep.
I've got more coming up in Music News later on. But anyhow, you can go to Ticketmaster.com to get the tickets. And the presale is Thursday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. So text word SECRET 239333. Bounce word back to you. See if you can win that later on. We'll also grab a random text or two. So a couple of different ways to do that. We're going to do a stupid question, which I'm very proud of, and it's going to require a performance by you this morning.
Really?
And yes, I'll explain when we return, as well as the entertainment report. We'll come back in a second. Stay with
this 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package, and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. Torrance Creek Outfitters. Why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so a stupid question this morning, and I'm interested to see how this is going to play out. In 1986, on this day, December 12th, the film Three Amigos came out.
Ah.
Here's what I want you to do. Say one of the magic chants that summons the invisible swordsman. Do your best.
Okay.
That's all I need you to do. If you're in the ballpark, we'll set you up. 215-263-WMMR. You can say one of the three magic chants that summons the invisible swordsman. If you know all three, well, kudos to you, but you can pick one.
And I know for a fact that this information does not exist on the internet.
Yeah, 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Well, even if it did verbatim, I don't know how the hell you would ever figure it out.
Yeah.
So, all right, so birthdays today on December 12th, Jennifer frickin' Connelly.
Oh.
Is 48 years old today.
Years and years ago. So she was. She appeared in a couple of horror movies, and she was in Labyrinth, and I always thought she was a lovely young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then she grew up, and boy, did she grow up.
Yes.
She's always, isn't she the one in the
House of Sand and Fog? Right? Yeah.
So, like, I always think of that. Oh. And then I think of the one with Bradley Cooper. She's
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, the one where she's married to Bradley Cooper. He's cheating on her with Scarlett Johansson. And, like, she always just plays that, like, sad.
Yeah.
As of late, like, there's a horror movie called, I think, Dark Water. She plays the same kind of dour, sad person. But she was initially the sexy.
Yeah.
Femme fatale.
Yep.
And in fact, that movie Mulholland Drive I was telling you about, Preston, it begins with her. She's killed in the beginning, but through flashbacks, you see things like her having a sex romp with John Malkovich, of all people.
Wow.
Yeah, but
and she's in
stunning.
One of your favorite movies, The Rocketeer.
The Rocketeer.
Mm-hmm. She's 48 years old today. All right, I bring this guy up, Dan Baird. He was the lead singer of the Georgia Satellites.
Oh, man.
I loved that song. Yeah, it was a fun song.
Is that Keep Your Hands to Yourself?
Keep Your Hands to Yourself.
I like that song.
Yeah, it is a good song.
He's 65 today.
What's he doing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He's a senior citizen officially. Now he got discount prices for the movie.
His AARP card.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's got a jazzy scooter and a shower you can sit up in.
Dude, like the day after I turned 50 years old, that AARP crap started coming in my mail.
Doesn't it piss you off?
Really?
Pisses you
really,
off?
Really, dude?
Come on!
I'm on the radio.
I'm forever young.
He's 65. Tom Wilkinson, outstanding actor. He is 70 years old today.
He's in one of my favorite horror movies, which is The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
That's right. He plays the priest in that. Yeah. And he's also in Batman Begins, if you remember.
He is.
He plays the gangster. But he's in so many great movies throughout the years. We were talking the other day about In the Bedroom, which is
powerful.
Oh, my God. What a movie. 70 years old today. Kathy Rigby, the great Olympic gymnast turned actress.
She had a weird little voice, didn't she?
Kathy Rigby? Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
She's 66 years old today. Who, you know who had a voice like that?
Oh, the one that...
Kathy Strug.
Carrie Strug.
Yeah.
I'm having a brain fart.
Chris Kattan did a great impression, yeah.
Would play her on Saturday Night Live, but she had that...
I'll tell you, there was one recently. You watch Jeopardy, right?
I do, but I haven't seen it lately. Okay, I haven't watched it in a few weeks.
They had the Jeopardy, the Scholastic... tournament of students or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
There was a contestant, a girl on that who had, I mean, the highest, you thought it was a cartoon voice. Yeah. Every time she talked, it was hilarious.
All right. So Kathy Rigby is 66 today. Dionne Warwick, the singer and former, it's always brought up here, the former Psychic Network pitch woman. I always forget about that.
She'd love to lose that.
Like that eclipses, Do You Know the Way to Santa Fe and all the other huge
string
hits
of hits. Burt Bacharach. She was one of Burt Bacharach's go-tos.
Great voice.
Unfortunately, to me, she's just the TV pitch woman.
Really?
She's not that's what friends are for, girl? Or?
Kind of. But first, I think of those late night infomercials.
And Whitney Houston's aunt.
I believe so.
Godmother?
There's a relation there, and I've forgotten exactly what it is. But anyhow, Dionne is 78 today. Sheila E., drummer and percussionist, former protege of Prince. He kind of found her and got her going.
Was she just a protege, or were they a thing for a while?
I think they were a thing, too.
They were a thing, huh?
Yeah. She's 61. Bill Nye, great actor. Love Actually plays Billy Mack, you know, the aging rock star. Shaun of the Dead, Pirates of the Caribbean. He's Davy Jones in that. He's 69. And then Bob Barker.
Oh, my God.
I love it, that guy.
Bob, we you know, we're concerned about Bob because every now and then you hear, you know, Bob Barker in the hospital for like back pain and things like that. Nothing that seems to be severe, but he has survived a lot, and that's why you hear all the craziness in the background.
He is really, he's doing, going great guns. He's been in terrific shape for years. He is a martial arts practitioner, has been for decades, and does a tremendous amount of work on behalf of animals.
Yeah, he's 95.
You know, though, the Sandler movie.
Happy Gilmore.
He's hilarious.
He's hilarious. And probably the best game show host ever. I mean, there's some really great ones, but nobody pulled it off
him
like
and Trebek.
He did. Yeah.
I mean, that's smooth, gets it done. Yeah, but doesn't you know waste what? Time, gets to the game.
He also had to riff a little bit more than Alex does.
He used a lot of personality, but which was great.
His payoff was that he was banging all the showcase models.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. 95 today. And then, Casey, take it away.
All right. To one of the greatest people I've ever known, my daughter, Casey. We now have a teenager.
A teenage girl in the household.
Yeah.
How about that?
I know she's listening right now because she's up liking Instagram posts and all that kind of stuff. I was trying to leave her a gift on her nightstand last night, and she was awake like past 11.
What about the Chucky doll under her bed?
Oh, my God. Seriously?
It's in her closet now,
Steve. Chucky's on your bed.
The picture you posted of her on Instagram when she was a baby on the beach. Oh my God. It was so cute. I remember when she was born.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of my favorites ever, that little picture of her. So she is officially a teenager.
Wow.
She has a broken finger now.
And we are terrible. Is that a tradition in the household?
No, but she went to the doctors last night.
Much Instagram use? Or
no, okay. She's playing basketball.
Oh,
and
bummer.
We were like, you're fine. You just jammed it. You're okay. You're all right. Well, Dad, I got this bump on the knuckle. That's normal. You know, it's just healing. And then so like 4 days later, it's just healing wrong. It's like, no, it's actually broken. There's actually a crack in your bone right now. So
I take that back.
So I'm a terrible father.
Listen, you didn't know. She'll have a cool war story.
Yeah. All right. Happy birthday to Casey, 13 years old. That's huge. Wow. So let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. In 1986, the movie Three Amigos came out. I would like you to say one of the magic chants that summons the invisible swordsman. We'll go to our first caller in, 215-263-WMMR, the number, and that would have been, okay, so it seems like Sean was our first caller. Hey, Sean, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing this morning?
Good. Sean, so do me a favor. Give me one of the magic chants that summons the invisible swordsman.
It's Farley, Farley, Farley.
No. I said you have to perform it.
Perform it. Sell it.
All right, I got you. A Farley, 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 Farley.
That's it. Yes, it is.
He missed a little bit.
But if he, I told him he got it close enough and he's seen it, because if you just say Farley, 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 it's written down. But Farley, 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 Farley. In fact, here we go.
Let me see here.
Hang on a second.
You each have to fire one shot in the air, say the magic chant, and the invisible swordsman will appear.
Farley, 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 Farley.
That's the one he did, obviously. Yeah, then Chevy Chase gets one in as well.
Great! You killed the invisible swordsman!
There you go. So you got it right. Hang on the line.
And by the way, that in the background is the singing bush.
Yes. And you know who that is?
Who is it?
You know it.
I do and I don't at the same time. Who is it?
It's Randy Newman.
Randy Newman.
No,
yeah,
is he really?
Because he's co-writer of the script.
Yep. And he's the, they just sped his voice up a little bit. And that's him singing it. All right. So since you got it right, we are going to give you a gear. $50 Star Restaurants gift card. You can light up their holiday with gift cards from Star Restaurants. Redeemable at 37 Star locations. It's a gift that everyone can enjoy. All right, let's get into the entertainment stuff, and we'll begin with the royal family. Why not? They've been all over the place. Meghan Markle has broken royal fashion protocol yet again.
Oh, man, crotchless panties.
No, not quite that, but the world's most rebellious royal made a surprise appearance at the 2018 British Fashion Awards in London. And while many admired her stunning Givenchy gown and blossoming bump.
Is it was Givenchy?
What is it? Givenchy? Does anybody know? I say it wrong all the time.
It's Givenchy.
Givenchy. Thank you.
I say Givenchy.
And they did love her Givenchy gown and blossoming bump. But others were quick to note her dark nail polish.
Oh.
Evidently, goth nails are a no-no for royals, so people picked up on that.
Oh, wow. And but it's not goth nails. It's just dark nail polish.
Agreed.
Is it, like, black, or is it, like, a dark burgundy? What's going on here?
You probably can't tell from the photo, Casey.
Okay.
Meghan presented Givenchy's artistic director, Claire Waite Kelly.
How you doing?
With the Designer of the Year Award. Kelly, of course, designed her wedding dress. She said, this woman is so amazing.
Amazeballs.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Keller gushed during her appearance speech.
Who?
It says Claire Waite Kelly, but maybe it's supposed
to say Kellogg's?
Claire Waite Keller.
No, they're saying Claire Waite. And because they were talking to somebody else when they were doing the interview, so they said,
Keller said during her acceptance speech, I got to know Meghan on such a personal level to have someone like that trust you on such a personal moment in their life. I can't thank you enough because it was the most beautiful moment.
I told you things like this were going to happen, though. I mean, it's just nail polish to us. It's no big deal. But I think that she's going to continue to do this, that nail polish is not a big deal to her, and she wanted to wear dark, so she's going to.
She will also, in effect, start to bring younger people who may not have been that interested in the royal family into the fold. So that's kind of good.
Now, the dark polish was wild enough by royal standards, but Meghan then got tongues wagging again when she opted to have some fun in a photo booth.
Ooh!
With Rosamund Pike and Keller.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing in there? Nothing!
Meanwhile, the internet panicked after Madame Tussauds in Berlin unveiled two new wax creations designed to look like Meghan and Harry. The verdict? Creepy, unsettling, inaccurate, terrifying.
Inaccurate.
That is correct.
These are just a few of the words described to the adjectives that were deployed on Twitter to describe the wax masks. Now, the most disturbing aspect is they weren't wax figures. It was just masks, and there were actual living people wearing them, acting out various Christmas-themed scenarios with the exact same, you know, expression on their face the entire time because it was a wax mask, and it looks weird. It just looks very strange.
It doesn't look inaccurate.
I agree.
It looks pretty.
Oh, Meghan Markle looks like one of the wrestling divas, but and I don't know who Harry looks like.
Well, the face is too big for this person's body, whoever's wearing it, so it looks a little bit weird. Hey, Kathy Lee Gifford, who has co-anchored today's fourth hour with Hoda Kotb for the past decade, is retiring from the program. She announced this yesterday. She said, and I think we have a clip.
We do have a clip of her announcing, and we have a clip of Hoda reacting emotionally.
Do you have that, Casey?
I am looking for it.
Did you send it over, Maris?
Yeah, it should be from yesterday.
Oh, from yesterday.
Oh, it's from this morning.
Yeah. Oh, from this morning.
No problem.
Anyhow, I have the quote.
Anywho.
She said, it's an exciting time for me. And I'm thrilled about all the projects that are coming up, but it's also hard, she said, breaking the bittersweet news. I've been in this business for 120 years, she said. I love that.
Yeah.
And never worked with a more beautiful group of people who just give every day. She plans to stay through the program through her next anniversary, which will be April 7th. And she credited her success on the show to her friendship that she's developed with Hoda, whom she called her beautiful Egyptian goddess.
I like Kathy Lee. I do. There are times when I couldn't stand her, and she came through all of it. She's always been pretty cool.
Yep.
She's self-deprecating. She is talented, and the show at that hour does really well for NBC in the morning.
I can't believe that it's been on for 10 years.
Yeah.
I had no idea because I never watch it.
In fact, it brought Hoda Kotb. The reason why she gets so emotional is because it kept her in the NBC family long enough for Matt Lauer to get canned
right,
and for her to get back on the regular Today Show.
Yeah, here's the clip. Here we go.
Okay. I have something to share with everybody, and it's bittersweet, as these things always are. But I've been here almost 11 years. Thought I would stay 1 year. Something happened along the way. Fell in love with a beautiful Egyptian goddess. And now, when it's our 11th anniversary, I'm going to be leaving the Today Show.
Aww. Well, I don't know what she's going to move on to. She does have porn. Some other things planned. She's going to do porn, milf porn, and granny porn.
Ooh, were you in good in school today?
The duo celebrated their 10-year anniversary earlier this year with tributes from friends and celebrities that they've had fun with over the years.
I bet I was a bad boy in school. I should be spanked.
Here comes Reed. Were you bad, Regis?
Oh, my God. Hey, Leonardo DiCaprio, listen to this, has to fork over his Oscar. But not the one that he earned for The Revenant in 2015. No, it was the one he was gifted. The 44-year-old Oscar winner was given Marlon Brando's 1954 Oscar for his role in On the Waterfront. But he was given to him by Malaysian financier Zhou Lau.
They don't allow you to do that.
Well, here's the deal. Lau bought the Oscar for reported $600,000 at an auction and gave it to DiCaprio. He can do that in addition to a painting by Pablo Picasso and other goodies. But Lau financed the Wolf of Wall Street, in which DiCaprio starred, and the pair became buddies, according to reports. DiCaprio isn't the only celebrity who's been showered with gifts by, or it's Lau or Low, I don't know how you pronounce
Lauer.
It. Lauer. Yeah. Who has been accused of masterminding a fraud worth billions against investment. Yeah, billions.
Ooh, billions. Billions.
Yeah. It was billions, but anyhow.
Billions.
Against an investment fund called the One Malaysia Development Berhad Fund for 1MDB, which was supposed to benefit average Malaysians. According to the report, Lau is a fugitive believed to be hiding in China. That they don't explain why DiCaprio has to give it back. It might be evidence or something like that.
That I don't know. And also, I thought there was some sort of understanding that it could only be, or maybe they've just modified, or maybe it's a rule that they changed over the years. I thought it used to be that the recipient of the Oscar had to be the only one who had it, and if not, the Oscar would be returned to the Academy.
Well, he had bought it at an auction, so they can. Right. I guess they can auction those things.
I guess so.
Of the funds pilfered by Lau, about $200 million was allegedly used to buy artwork.
That's my buddy.
$27.3 million, 22-carat pink diamond necklace was picked up. Tens of millions went to Hollywood films, including The Wolf of Wall Street and Daddy's Home. A quarter bill was spent on a mega yacht, and a clear acrylic grand piano was gifted to Miranda Kerr, along with 11.71-carat diamond necklace and 11-carat diamond earrings.
Let me tell you something. He can get diamond studs for under $250.
Yeah.
It's Steven Singer Jewelers.
Come on, man.
$270. All right. Sorry. It's not $1 billion.
No, it ain't.
Like a billion.
Billion. All right, so Clint Eastwood has a modern family. The 88-year-old Oscar winner had a clutch of special guests Monday night at the L.A. premiere of his new film called The Mule.
Look, this is my clutch. I keep my hairbrush and lipstick in it. and a tampon, just in case.
I've never heard that term used, a clutch of special guests. You're right.
Yeah, neither have I.
So they included his daughter, Allison, and her husband, Stacy Poitras, sons Scott Eastwood and Kyle Eastwood, with his wife, Cynthia Ramirez, granddaughter, Graylin Eastwood, and his first wife, Maggie Johnson, and girlfriend, Christina Sanders.
Girlfriend.
So this is a big, big group there for him, family-wise.
I'll tell you what. I'm still trying to figure out Scott Eastwood. He's a good-looking guy.
What's he in? Remind me again.
So he was in the second Pacific Rim. He was in Suicide Squad. He was one of the military guys. He was in that rodeo movie.
Yeah.
So he's a good-looking guy.
And he looks like his dad.
Yeah, he looks like his dad. I'm trying to figure out if he can act. He hasn't really been in anything. Like Pacific Rim 2 sort of stunk.
Yeah.
And he's in it. Yeah, I'd like to see if he's got any capabilities like his dad.
Well, that remains to be seen. By the way, the return to Hollywood for Eastwood is the first after a 6-year break. He directs and stars as a quiet man caught up in drug trafficking.
It looks really good.
The Mule hits theaters December 14th. Hey, by the way, Charlie Sheen shared some exciting news. He has been sober for 1 year.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Year. A freaking year. 365 days.
How many weeks is that?
That's about 10 weeks. All right, I'm not that sober.
I'm by winning.
I'm winning, except in the calendar department.
Sheen shared an image.
This is an inspirational message every day, and Ziggy delivers them.
Of his sobriety medallion on...
Look here, he's saying I love you this much.
On social media, after famously battling addiction for years.
He's got many addictions.
So good on him. Yeah.
He also, well, you know, his sexual past has come back to haunt him. He's dealing with the HIV.
I wonder if he's less crazy. Since so
less crazy. I wonder if he's, after all these years.
I wonder if he's managed to you know, temper that a little bit, his nuttiness.
You know, the problem is, you get, like they did the Goldbergs episode where it was the homage to Ferris Bueller, and he plays himself in the scene in the jail.
Yeah,
you know, and he's sitting there, current day Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's got a good comedic sense of humor, mm-hmm. but that effed up is. Really entrenched.
Was he? All right, so he was sober for a long time.
For like a freaking year.
No, before that, like when he was doing...
I don't know.
Men. What is that show?
I was never in a movie called Men.
No. It's a TV show. Two and a half.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was maybe sober for a little...
Possibly.
Then he went off the deep end, which is how they... When they wrote him off the show.
So you with that show, it was like a kid in a candy store because he had... He was, the highest paid actor on television at the time.
Yeah.
They were showering them with hot women.
All the time.
On the show.
He's always walking around in the show holding a drink.
Yep.
You know, who knows whether it's real or not.
Yep. But I was watching old episodes of that, and, I mean, he looked and sounded great. And then,
well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yep. All right, so we'll continue down the drug path. The Ring alum, Davy Chase, the girl, played the scary girl. Has been charged with possession of a controlled substance, and a judge has reportedly issued a warrant for her arrest.
I saw this.
She's
have they looked in the TVs?
No, I don't think they have. Or down the well.
Down the well.
Chase is facing up to 1 year in jail and a fine of up to $1,000. That's sad news. Hopefully she can get her life straightened out.
6 months with time served.
After
the phone rings.
Speaking of getting your life together, after splitting up with fiancé Ariana Grande, Saturday Night Live star Pete Davidson has jumped back into the dating pool, according to Page Six. He's been going on dates, source says, but it's casual. He's been trying to move on and live a more private life.
I got to imagine it's tough to start dating again when you supposedly have 10-inch junk. That's that's the rumor. That's the rumor.
No.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, well, the rumor's wrong. Davidson was spotted out with a woman at dinner Monday night and also joined a dating app in a bid to find love. So he's trying to get back into it. And then, how about this? And I misread the headline to this.
All right.
Diane Kruger opens up about missing daughter. And I'm like, her daughter's missing?
Oh, my God. No.
No, she misses her daughter.
Oh.
Oh, about missing daughter.
I just want you back.
Diane Kruger and Norman Reedus welcomed their first child last month, and as Kruger hits the red carpet to promote her new film, Welcome to Marwen, she misses her little girl.
Little Frederica Kruger.
Yeah. She and Reedus have not shared the baby's name. Frederica is not...
Be great.
...has not been released yet.
Aw, Freddie.
She tells Entertainment Tonight, I already am emotional. Every day is special, you know, and I am actually being emotional being away from her for the first time. So I'm looking forward to coming home. But I love Christmas, and I just want to be cooking and, you know, sit on the couch with my baby and my man. Welcome to Marwen hits theaters on December 21st, by the way. Little Frederina Kruger.
We'll time see. To make some cookies, bitch.
Yeah. Let me see. Let's do one more story. This is nice.
Yes.
The Hollywood Foreign Press Association has named Carol Burnett as the recipient of its inaugural Golden Globe Television Special Achievement Award, and it honors the highest level of achievement, and they will now have the award known forever as the Carol Burnett Award.
That's awesome. Will they present said award during the broadcast?
You mean regularly? Year after year? I do not know. Probably, yeah, because it's the highest television honor.
I mean, they should.
It'd
be a freaking crime if they didn't.
It's the TV equivalent of the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Yes.
Which is named after the first recipient and the famed director. She will accept the award on January 6th in a live ceremony on NBC, by the way.
So, can't think of anyone better.
Nah, that's a great choice. All right, let's do the clips, you know. All right, so this week, the new Spider-Man, Miles Morales, makes his big screen debut. And here, actor
Jake... Wow, this week he does?
Oh, you're killing time.
And,
We don't have the clips ready.
This is in the animated form, correct?
Yes. Spider into the Spider-Verse.
Okay. Yes. That's the movie because there's also the live-action trailer for the next Spider-Man is dropping soon.
Okay, cool.
Which should be...
ready to go.
Here, actor Jake Johnson talks about how the dynamic between his character, Peter B. Parker, and Miles. Here we go.
For the kind of OG Spider-Man fans, you're going to get Peter Parker, and you're going to get him in a new fun way, but he is the same Peter Parker. And then for a new audience, a new group of people, you're going to get Miles Morales as Spider-Man, which is going to add a whole new dimension. And I think their relationship is really special in this movie and really fun.
I don't give a f***.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse will premiere this Friday. Here's the next clip. On tonight's episode of Riverdale.
Yeah!
Jughead and Archie head to Toledo to visit Jughead's mother Gladys and sister Jellybean, while Betty inches closer to uncovering the truth about Griffins and Gargoyle.
Mm.
In this clip, Cole Sprouse explains how this super popular show continues to evolve. Here we go.
Season 2 is a very interesting time for most shows because I don't necessarily think, unless the show is written in its entirety, that most shows know exactly what it is, even through Season 2.
Good housekeeping.
New episode of Riverdale is tonight at 8, and that is on the CW. So there you go. It's your entertainment report this morning. Hey, I've just been handed tickets to see the advanced screening of Aquaman.
Whoa!
That we have set up at the IMAX screen at the UA King of Prussia. The biggest possible, most immersive experience you can have with this.
It is. Now there's a review that was up on, I believe, Mashable that says it's the most epic superhero movie of all time.
Say
no
what?
Way.
That's what they say.
Ooh.
They saying it.
I like the sound of that. Let's take 7 callers who are free to join us on Monday, 7:30 at the UA King of Prussia. You'll need to be there by 7 o'clock. 215-263-WMMR. We shall set you up. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a little while. Mr. Skin is going to be on the program today. Members of the brand new Philadelphia Wings lacrosse team are going to be stopping by this morning, so we'll meet them for the first time. Their season debut is on Saturday. The home opener is anyway. So we'll be back in a second. Stay with us. Chance to win Christmas Miracle tickets and more throughout the course of the morning.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners.
On sale now for just $15 in the MMR Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Order by December 10th to have it in time for the holidays. Or get your hands on a free copy at an upcoming calendar raid while meeting the girls and the members of the show.
Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
This is a nice text. I just glanced over at the text message. It says, hey, I just scrolled through 6 different stations, and I would rather keep you guys on through the commercials and listen to the content
that's
out there. Thanks for keeping us all smiling through the morning. Love you. Well, thank you, random texter. That was just a nice little compliment.
That is awesome.
So throw some love back to you.
We love you supporting our sponsors, it also helps us with a thing called TSL.
That's right.
Time spent listening.
And with that, you know, can we throw them a shirt for that? Because I have another email that has a shirt, and I'll do that. Yeah, so we can do both if you don't mind. And this says, hey, my husband is such a fan of your podcast and team. Ben has been listening to you guys since he was a kid with his dad, and now we live in Florida, and he has your podcast downloaded and ready to go every day. He has them on in the car no matter where we're headed, and I'm pretty sure my 2-year-old knows you guys better than my own family. He would absolutely die if he heard his name for a shout-out for his birthday. If you guys have time to give him a shout-out on Monday, December 10th. Nope, we didn't do that, but we'll do it now. Benjamin Shelburne.
All right, Benjamin.
So here you go. And that is from Alexandra Shelburne, who lives in Vieira, Florida. So thanks for listening in FLA. Appreciate it. All right. Another email that has an interesting debate, and I'd like to get your take on this.
All right.
All you guys and anybody who...
You want authoritative information.
Who feels free, who has some time to call in. This is from Mike DiGiacomo. And he says, hey, guys, last night I got into a longer than expected argument with my wife about a popular kids' Christmas song lyric. I thought, who better to settle the argument than our favorite morning show, and it would be a great debate to hear on the air. My five-year-old son last night started singing Jingle Bells.
I know what this is.
Okay.
And I think I just figured it out this year.
All right. Well, hold,
I'm not kidding you.
Okay, hold the phone.
Okay. Well, maybe. This might not
all right,
be
all
it.
All right.
And but I do want to hear what you have to say if okay. this is not the thing. So started singing Jingle Bells, and the argument picked up shortly after because I asked him what he said. Here was his response. Jingle Bells, Batman smells, oh. Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker took ballet.
No, that's not what I heard.
Okay.
Okay, so keep going. I don't want to jump in what I know the answer to be.
I asked him who taught him those lyrics, and he said, Mommy. I told him those lyrics are wrong because the last line is the Joker got away because
yeah, right.
it makes logical sense. If the Batmobile lost its wheel, then the Joker would get away. To a five-year-old, that made sense. To my wife, she said, why would the Joker get away? I Googled it. And was shocked to see that other people say the Joker took ballet. I showed my wife the following clips, and he listed them here, to back up that the Joker got away. Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, the Batmobile lost a wheel, and the Joker got away. And she said she is still insistent that it's the Joker took ballet. Please
no!
help me settle this debate and keep peace in the house this Christmas.
Listen, I don't know this man... And I don't know his wife, and I don't know what kind of relationship they have, but we do have an advertiser that they're divorce attorneys.
That's right, right.
They
can you can.
That's right.
There is no logical reason.
No.
All linear reason dictates that once the Batmobile has lost the wheel, it will facilitate the Joker's escape.
Yes.
It will not entice him to take up the art of dance.
No.
Even I know that.
Yes, even you know that.
I've never heard of the ballet one.
No, my kids sang both of them, to be honest.
Hey,
really?
The Batmobile's wheel fell off. Let me call Twyla Tharp.
So I had heard that both versions from my kids. So it's out there, but the original is
so is
clearly.
Chicken pox. Yeah.
So the original is clearly.
The Batmobile lost a wheel and the Joker got away.
And the Joker got away.
See, like when I first heard the argument being brought up, I had no idea that the ballet was going to be brought into this. I thought there was going to be a battle over just a couple of words. Those words being, did the Batmobile break a wheel? Or lose a wheel.
Lost a wheel.
Lost a wheel.
Okay.
Yep.
Did the Joker run away or get away?
Got away.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought the argument was going to be.
No.
This crap about ballet, I wish I found out the person who sang that.
There are other lyrics. We haven't scratched the surface on other lyrics about Robin laying an egg.
Yeah.
Well, smells 50 miles away.
Right.
All of those things that you know, right? That are intrinsic and integral to the storyline.
I clearly remember singing those lyrics that the Batmobile lost its wheel and the Joker got away in kindergarten.
Yes.
When I was that young.
You have to sing it. It's part of the Hebrew tradition.
Oh.
Yes, for your bat mitzvah.
That's right. No. And I wonder around when that happened, when the song came into being. You know, I wonder if it was the 1960s or something like that, when Batman was on TV.
Was on TV.
Probably.
It very well could have been. Actually, so, Marissa, if you could do the check, I'm sure you probably are, on the history of that riff.
Yeah.
Because at that time, that's when I got into Batman. I mean, you know, that was the deal. Now, I think at that time, I remember, you know, kids coming up with stuff like that all the time. You don't see that.
No.
Casey, you have kids. You all have kids.
Yeah.
Do you see the generation of these kind of songs the way they used to occur for us?
No, not as much. I mean, that one has stood the test of time, but I'm trying to think if there are any specifically Christmas carols that have changed. Now, my friends and I tweaked one for fun. My buddy Steve, so we have a friend named Chet. And in fact, they were here. Remember, we played the game. The game show with them, and who knew what about each other.
You went to go see the U2 concert with
them. Yeah, Steve and Chet. And Steve and I used to sing, instead of chestnuts roasting on an open fire,
okay.
We would sing Chet's nuts roasting on an open fire. Chet's nuts roasting on an open fire.
So my dad would sing my nuts roasting on an open fire.
Oh, would he really?
Yeah, yeah. Dad, I love him so much.
The perversion of classics was all, I mean, we would get that all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff so profane. that I couldn't repeat it here.
Feel free to jump in, 215-263-WMMR. There may be some ones that you have tweaked over the years, but I think we're in agreement that...
I can't, no, there's no linear logical sense to the song about ballet.
But I think it's just a play on that, and I remember my daughter singing that specifically.
Well maybe it's ballet. More for the dancers. They want to add something into their funny song.
Maybe. Answer our phones, please, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. We are a phone-based show. Yep. This goes back to things like the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun sitting in a tree. That's an original song, K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, wait a minute. It's, I always said it's kind of a chant.
Yeah.
Preston Casey and Kathy sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Never.
Kathy grabs love. Then comes marriage. Then comes Casey in the baby carriage. What were you saying?
I don't know. I just was...
You were singing Kyle.
I was not. It was wishful thinking that maybe Kathy would go down my pants and... No.
Ew.
No, ew.
We just had a moment.
Kathy needs to actually take a shower right now.
Hang on, I have. It says Tom. His last name is Batman.
Wow,
That's interesting.
Correct, sir.
Your last name is Batman.
It is B A T M A N, just like the superhero.
All right, and
that's pretty cool.
Tom Batman.
That is pretty cool.
I think Steve might be changing.
By the way, Carson Daly is a tool.
Yes. See, that's old a little school. Piece of insignificant.
So wait a minute. Tom, seriously, your last name is Batman? Is it pronounced Batman?
Batman.
It's Batman. When I was a kid, I wanted to say Batman because it was embarrassing. But no, my last name is Batman.
Oh, my God.
That is very cool.
So you can speak on authority. You're a Batman.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. The Joker got away. There is no question. There is no doubt. There is no ballet for the Joker.
Yeah.
Well, why? Has the Joker ever expressed interest in learning ballet? Yeah. No.
Exactly.
He's more a jazz tap kind of guy.
Right. You know what? We should put a poll on a Twitter poll, Marissa. I'm sure it's going to be completely one-sided, but we might as well.
Working on that. I also just fell into a crazy hole, if you guys would like to hear.
Please.
About Jingle Bells.
Please.
All right. So Cracked, a writer for there, did some research in 2015, and he went digging and digging, and he found a guy who wrote an article in maybe the 80s or something, and he dug it back to the 1960s.
Okay.
Jingle Bells?
Where
Batman smells.
They were saying that it may have started, like, kids singing it. Batman started in 1966 on television.
Yep.
And he said a lot of army brats were singing it on when they would go to new bases and meet new kids. So it was just kind of a silly song.
You know what? I remember hearing that it had a military thing to it. That's
so
right.
Batman smells has a military... Is that possibly a way that the Pentagon would send code to troops around the world?
It gets deeper and darker. So there's
Robin
a...
Robin laid an egg.
So, we attack at dawn.
There is a article written that says, Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Rang Away, no. Batmobile Lost a Wheel, and Commissioner Stuck in a Sleigh.
Now that's too wordy, too awkward. Yeah. No.
I've never heard that.
It's not going to be a hit.
It's a military code, though, Steve.
Commissioner Gordon has run astray. The Nazis have gotten away.
The Nazis.
Never before in the history of humankind has Robin laid an egg. Batman smells.
All right.
There were a lot of renditions
of
this.
The Green Lantern has questionable sexual habits.
Hey, here's some other versions. Jingle Bells, Shotgun Shells, Rabbits All the Way, Applesauce and Sauerkraut, and Good Old Pork and Beans. What? That doesn't even rhyme. It's not even a
what
word.
What idiot came up with that?
So then he starts saying that in the 60s, due to just...
From shell shock?
The things that were going on, people kept changing the words. And they get pretty dark, the different versions that people sang.
Well, it's kind of like sitting in a Chevy and you feel something heavy. You know, somebody came up with that, and then they're like, okay, well, then we got to come up with a whole bunch of sliding in the third, and you feel
right.
All of
well,
that
no,
stuff.
This starts to delve into racial slurs.
Oh, geez.
You can't Marissa do that.
I pulled up one that and it says, Granny had a gun and pulled that trigger. You can imagine what rhymes with that later on. Wow. Jingle Bells, Shotgun Shells, Freedom All the Way. Oh, what fun it is to blast a trooper man away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're saying the kids were used to hearing different versions of this and probably just made a schoolyard version.
Wow.
I don't like that.
I like the Batman one.
I like the innocence. Listen, it's a simple act. He has. They had not done the scheduled maintenance on the Batmobile. The wheel fell off, and thus the Joker got away. It's simple and to the point.
Hang on. Brian sings Jingle Bells completely different. Let me go to him. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So I actually have the full version of the song, not just the Jingle Bells part.
Please.
Okay. So it goes, slashing through his chest with one side open blade. Through the ribs we go, laughing all the way. Screams from victims ring, causing Christmas fright. Oh, what is to, oh, what fun it is to slay and sing this song tonight. Jingle bells, dead blood cells, bodies all around. Bloody spears and children's fears and a dead fat man today.
Oh my God.
Good Lord.
I remember as a kid, stuff like that.
You know, I never heard that
songs,
one.
Songs no. that were about, you know.
Yes, taking the most benevolent song about riding through the snow in a sleigh and turning it into something gruesome.
No, but I remember morbid songs. Thank you, Brian, by the way, when I was a kid. I mean, like, you know, great green gobs of greasy, grimy gopher guts, mutilated monkey butts, and all that stuff. So I could see where it would devolve into that.
You know? That one was a little arch.
Let me go to, hang on, Joan here with the Joker Got Away versus Ballet. Hey, Joan, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, Joan?
Not much. So I'm a ballet girl.
You say ballet.
But that's what I heard.
How
that's what I heard growing
dare
up.
Dare you?
How old are you, Joan?
The only reason I say that is because, listen to the rest of the song. I mean, Robin's laying eggs.
Right. Yes.
Batmobile's losing its wheel. All havoc's breaking loose. So why wouldn't the Joker take ballet?
You're saying the simple reason for justifying the Joker running away to take ballet lessons is the fact that Robin laid an egg. That's all
and
you
Batman
need.
Smells.
And the egg could be.
She's just saying it's complete craziness.
No, it's not.
It's a world. It's a world gone amok.
Yeah.
Perhaps Robin has taken a dump. And that's what that refers to.
Joan, how old are you, by the way?
I'm 34.
34, and you've been singing that since you were a little kid?
Yes, and I'm a huge Batman fan on top of that.
Okay, interesting.
All right. You seem very nice, so you can continue doing it, but I have my reservations.
All right, thank you very much. Let me go next to, I have Christy. Hi, Christy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Christy. Gadzooks, you wanted to weigh in on this?
Yes, I'm also in the ballet camp. I've never even heard it the other way, so I...
Well.
It actually amazes me. I've never heard it the other way. It makes more sense.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. At least you're admitting that the running away makes more sense than him slapping on a leotard and going to ballet class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But I will say I think it makes the song more fun as a kid because silly's always better.
I mean, it's crazy because I didn't even... I thought the Joker was a singer.
No, she was a dancer.
Oh, dance. Oh my God! Stop.
But he's not a she.
Yeah, or is he? We don't know.
Let me go to... Hang on. I see Tyler says something here. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, hey. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. Tyler, what's up?
So, let me settle this once and for all.
Okay.
Make sure everybody's clear on this. There was an episode of Batman the Animated Series where the Joker is actually singing this song, and he's in a prison, it's Christmas time, and he's singing the correct lyrics, and at the very end, all hell breaks loose, the prison goes into a riot, and the Joker has decorated the Christmas tree, and it's actually a rocket, and he gets on the rocket, and he escapes out of the prison, and as he's escaping, he sings, "The Joker Got Away."
Okay. Boom!
Yeah.
From the Joker's own mouth. Do you remember who voiced that particular? Was it Mark Hamill?
It was Mark Hamill's version of the Joker, yeah.
Whatever Mark Hamill says is the Joker is gospel.
So, absolutely. Yeah. If Skywalker says it, it has to be true.
Exactly. Thank you.
But you had the girl who is in her mid-30s who's been hearing it since she was a kid, which preceded this.
I love her.
By far.
She's an awesome person.
But
she needs to talk to someone.
We have the audio of it. You want me to play it?
Yes, please.
All right, here we go.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Jingle bells, Batman smelt. Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost the wheel. And the Joker got away.
And that's it. That is definitely. I agree wholeheartedly.
You know,
I think that it was the original, but I also think that the ballet thing's been around for a long time.
I think we need a support group of sorts.
I think so, but I to settle his.
My
question.
Name is Karen, and I believe that the Joker went to the ballet. Hi, Karen.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. There's donuts and coffee in the back.
How long have you been saying that, Karen?
Since I was a child.
There's donuts and coffee in the back.
They're
we suggest you don't date anyone here.
Right, exactly. There's certain things we prefer you do. And then, you have to go around and make amends to everyone you said that the joke you're doing to ballet.
Call your kids, write them a letter.
Right. And at the end, we get in a circle and all hold hands. Jingle bells, Batman's bells. You chant it rather than sing it.
I love how your version of the one childhood riff nursery rhyme was chanted as opposed to sung.
Mine was too, though. Yeah. I knew it as a chant.
Yeah. Kathy Ann and she's sitting in a tree.
Kathy Ann Gary sitting in a tree. Kathy and Gary.
Let me hang on. So we have some people that have other lyrics that they've made up to Christmas songs. I'll go to Jesse. Hi, Jesse. Good morning.
Hey, it's not Jesse. It's Brian Duffy. What's up, everybody?
Brian Duffy.
I know. Like yeah, Brian Duffy. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Good. Growing up in my house, Brenda Lee was always a great song.
Yes.
Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. But if you listen to the lyrics, when she says, later we'll have some pumpkin pie.
Yes.
Sounds a little bit like later we're going to have some effing pie.
You know what? I saw somebody tweeting that.
That's
was
great.
It Kreischer not long ago? Or somebody, one of the comedians we know, had tweeted that out. And said, it sounds like later we'll have some effing pie. And I was like, okay. Yeah,
that's my new version.
I kind of hear that. Yeah, you're right about that, Brian. Thanks for pointing that out, man.
You got it, man. My 17 and my 14-year-old sing it with us loud and proud.
I love it. I love it. Thanks, man.
You know, there's one of the refrains in White Christmas, the original Bing Crosby version, sounds like he's saying death to the infidels.
Oh, I'll have to listen
Yeah,
closer.
If you listen.
Speaking of lyrics changed, there was a bit. What was this on, Steve? The Little Drummer Boy.
This was on James Corden's show.
Okay, so he and Sean Hayes decided to do a version of The Little Drummer Boy, but it's a tribute. Does it start at the beginning of the song, Marissa? Are they talking?
They're talking.
Okay.
We cut out the intro.
All right, let me play that here. No, it's not. So they're talking about the holidays and how special it is.
It's the Bing Crosby, David Bowie riff. Yeah
exactly. Yeah. But anyhow, they set it up with, you know what's missing around this time of year, what we need around this time of year? Actor Michael Rapaport. And then they go into this version of this song. Okay. That's what I meant by the setup. Here we go.
Come, they told me Michael Rapaport, a newborn king to see Michael Rapaport. Our finest gifts we bring, Michael Rapaport, Rapaport, Rapaport.
And they go through the whole song. There's a picture of his face.
An 8x10 and an unflattering one at that.
Yeah, exactly. Hang on, let me go to Jay. Hi, Jay, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Along the lines of Chet's nuts roasting on an open fire, my wife loves when I sing the chorus to Winter Wonderland as walking with a wiener in my hand.
Oh, walking with the wiener in my hand.
I like it, that.
That's not bad.
Who is the guy out?
Thanks, bud.
Classic song parody dude. From
Dr.
The West.
Demento.
No, there's another guy.
Winters? No.
Yes, I think it might be Winters. Yeah.
Because I thought Dr. Demento did walking around in women's underwear.
No, there's another. Gary?
Rivers.
Gary Rivers, okay.
Yes, right. And so that was, he does a whole bunch of those, and that's one that gets quoted a lot. Walking around in women's underwear.
I do like that one.
Yeah.
Lacy things that she's wearing.
We have
I don't know. Let me see. Let me go to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
That says Rich.
Oh, Rich. I'm sorry. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Good, Rich. Hey. What's up?
Not too much. We was all sitting around one time and, we made up this Christmas card and it's kind of funny. It goes like this, "'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Mom at the whorehouse and dad smoking grass. I just settled down for a nice piece of ass. When out on the lawn, I heard such a clatter. I rose from my pee."
Yeah. I think we should
probably.
You know, he sounds like as a compliment to Rich. He sounds like that annoying kid in Polar Express.
When he got older,
I got a dirty poem for you. Yeah. There was an old prospector named Dave who kept a whore in a cave.
It's him as an adult.
Right? Yeah. Does it sound,
I mean, I love Polar Express, but that one kid, I just want to lay on the tracks and have the train
guy,
roll over.
The guy who did the voice of that was the actor who was Eugene in Greece. In Greece.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's also in 1941.
Yeah. And Revenge of the Nerds.
And he's also... No, he's not in Revenge of the Nerds.
Sure he is.
Oh, okay, well, he's
No,
also,
he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He was also in...
He played Oscar Schindler.
he's in War Games at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And Midnight Madness.
Is he a Midnight Madness?
Pretty sure there's a big nerd group.
Okay. Let me go to Emma. Hi, Emma. You're on the air. Good
what
morning.
A tribute.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
So I actually used to... I said the Joker took ballet, but I completely never... You really sang the Batmobile Lost Its Wheel.
What did you sing?
Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, Mr. Freeze Cut the Cheese, and the Joker Took Ballet.
No, I've never heard that
one. All right, so I would...
We added another villain.
I would accept Mr. Freeze
Cut the Cheese.
That's fine.
And then it would make sense maybe that the Joker did ballet because it's just... But it's the whole losing of the wheel that allows the Joker to make good his escape.
I think we could the assumption is that Mr. Freeze's farts would cause some sort of euphoria, and that might entice the Joker to want to take ballet.
Good point. I didn't think about that. Okay. Emma, thank you.
Yeah, not a problem.
I like adding another villain, but though the classic, you know, which is, it's beyond debate, is what we believe it to be.
We have a friend Ra on the line. Yo, Ra, what's up, man?
Are my testicles black?
Are my testicles black?
I have on good authority that they are.
Are my testicles black?
It's so funny because the Robin Laid an Egg part is double entendre.
Okay.
You know, Robin's name is Robin after the bird. Robin laid an egg.
Yes.
So that part is just making fun of the name Robin, probably.
Yes.
But, you know, there's other songs like, I used to think that Silent Night, when they say holy infant souls, I thought it was holy imbeciles.
Wow. Did you ever sing that in church accidentally?
Holy imbeciles.
But here's the funny thing. You've heard Do You Hear What I Hear, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a line in there that needs to be changed. It's a child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. What the hell is that going to do for that shivering child?
It'll warm him right up.
Here, have this very cold metal.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was the stupidest line ever, and it's been sung for years.
Listen, there are a lot of church songs that you sing that, you know, if you ever just sit and look at them, they're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
A house made entirely of bread?
That's stupid.
That is structurally unsound.
Right. It would crumble upon its own weight. The weight of itself.
The morning dew would bring it down.
Yeah. All right, good food for thought. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it, man. All right, we'll see you later. All right, hang on. Jamie's daughter wants to sing a song for us.
All right,
so we'll do that. Hi, Jamie. You're on the air.
Top of the morning to you, folks. Thanks so much. My 6-year-old has a song she'd like to sing for you. Here you go.
All right, let's hear it.
Just a homeless boy, then I'd be fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be naughty, fa la 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 la. Pop a tire, break a window, fa la 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 la. Put your neighbor's house on fire, fa la 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 la. Watch the flaming burn upon you, fa la 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 la.
Wow. Yeah. That is from the Backdraft Holiday Songbook.
Promoting arson.
Burning down your neighbor's house.
Mm-hmm. I like it. What's your name, by the way?
Grace.
What is it?
Grace.
Grace.
You have a beautiful voice.
You sing very well, Grace. Have a Merry Christmas, okay?
Yeah.
Don't actually set your neighbor's house on fire.
No, no, no. Steal stuff instead.
Right. That's much less financially destroying. Okay, listen, we'll put a poll up. Marissa's already got it up, and it's 89% got away overtook ballet, but we're gonna let it run for 24 hours.
Well, we need to properly shame the people who've been singing it wrong.
Yeah.
There's one more piece of audio of Robert Goulet singing on The Simpsons.
Oh, Robert Goulet's pretty authoritative as well.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away. Hey!
Robert Goulet, we need to remind you, he was in Camelot.
I want to play his again. Egg.
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg.
An egg.
Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away. Hey!
Robert Goulet was very funny, if you remember him in The Naked Gun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the second one.
Yes. Casey had an interesting idea. How about we have someone create a Preston and Steve version of the Jingle Bells?
Yes. Something like Jingle Bells, Casey smells would take Marissa any day. Preston, Steve, love Kathy, and McElwain is gay. What do you think?
Wow.
No?
Okay.
Just like that?
Huh?
Well, feel like free. It. And
I'm going to bitch bleat that. Or what is it? Bitch bleat that? Yeah.
Bitch bleat that?
Bitch bleat that.
So you want to give away a prize for the best one, Case? Yeah, is that what you're saying?
Why not?
You could do that.
Yeah.
You can email it to us or call in and sing or whatever. We're open. So go ahead. But we got to take a break now. A Preston and Steve version of Jingle Bells. I didn't think about that. Nice. All right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The Joker didn't really do ballet, but if you want to sing that, it's okay.
It's the holidays. Yeah. I guess you have to be a little accommodating.
A little forgiving. We're going to take a quick break, but not before we clear the phone lines and give away a $50 gift card to Duffer's Tavern.
Yes.
Casey's going to be there tomorrow night, and we'll take caller number 7 at 215-263-WMMR. They're located in Glen Mills. This is the location on 352 and 926. Tomorrow night, Casey will be there from 7 to 9. The Bud Light Philly Tour, chance to win Eagles ticket. So let's set you up with that right now. Call. We'll be back in a moment. B-File coming up next.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2019. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners.
On sale now for just $15 in the MMR Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Order by December 10th to have it in time for the holidays. Or get your hands on a free copy at an upcoming calendar raid while meeting the girls and the members of the show.
Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, 7:56. We got to get right into it with Fox Good Day. So we're going to do that very thing. Here we go.
Scary.
You can't
horrifying.
Deal with it?
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that. But let's get to all Preston right. And Steve. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
Wonderful. Happy Wednesday.
So, have you guys heard this story? The Chinese government is apparently offering to pay up to $86,000 for people to snitch on those who they know are watching porn.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah, but what I'm not sure is this, they'll pay each and every single person who snitches $86,000?
Well, it says up to 86. Maybe there's levels. Like maybe
there's
depending
levels.
On how long they watch. What
my
kind
counter
of
offer, 90,000 if you keep your mouth shut. Right? I mean, that country will go broke. Because now they do clamp really? Down. They do clamp down. Obviously, Google just did like new algorithms to stop the to kind of restrict the searching capacity. So, but they're basically paying you to spy on your neighbors.
Yeah.
I'll
steal a line from Casey. I'd snitch on myself for $86,000.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that begs the bigger question. $1,000, would you snitch on each other there in the studio?
Oh, my God. I'd make so much money.
Yeah, Kathy. Listen, the best
really?
Part of
do
our
tell,
job.
Kathy.
No, it constitutes job research,
are
Kathy.
Are you kidding? Yes, listen, we work in a different type of place, but sometimes there are things on the computer that I would... If we were there, I would make a lot of money.
She
we'll
never
call it a Christmas bonus.
Yeah, well, she never believes the guy's actually a pizza delivery guy. Yeah. So it's always an issue. No, but there are things that people send us things, and it's like, okay, wow.
Yeah. It
and
happens.
They just want to share it with you guys, like, oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to share. We don't need to see it. But yeah, it's a different world we live in.
Yeah, I saw
and
something.
2 minutes later, you delete it, right?
Yeah. I saw something really offensive on my computer the other day. It was a Philadelphia woman who said. He called a hoagie a sub.
Oh,
did
oh,
you
no.
see that? Did you guys see that?
Oh, my God.
Totally offensive.
Was.
I think she...
So embarrassed.
Alex, you got too much garbage for that. People need to relax.
You know, I had some people tell me I am no longer a good role model.
Someone
said that, oh, this is just not right. How could you get this wrong?
So the backstory, you were in Philly Mag.
Yes, because it's Wawa week, so celebrating Wawa. And they asked people, they said, hey, you know, what do you like to order at Wawa?
Yeah.
And I said, an Italian sub sandwich.
Oh, no, Alex.
Well, here's the deal.
I know. And then there was an editor's note, and they're like, we didn't have the heart to tell Alex.
Most they should have caught that. But, like, for coming like from other states, in New York, you would call it a hero or a hoagie. If it's a hot sandwich, it's a sub. So that
sandwich is a sub in
New
York.
Yes, in New York, that's the breakdown.
Really?
Yeah,
honestly,
well, what do you guys call
when you go to Subway? Do you call it hoagie,
hoagie.
Way? Like, I mean,
don't
come
go
on.
To Subway.
I don't go to Subway.
Yeah, we don't go to Subway.
Yeah, you can't. Cause
this is making it worse.
They have $5 footlongs.
This is the reason,
okay?
Mike didn't come in today. He was so embarrassed.
Listen, I want them to print a retraction because I know now it's a hoagie.
Yeah.
Listen, well, you. It's okay.
Yeah, but you deserve a little bit of ribbon on that. Just a little bit.
Well, okay. I honestly...
You said they used an old quote.
They did.
It's welcome to the party. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's it. That's
true.
Yeah.
That's why we love Philly. It's why we love Philly. So, yeah, exactly. If you guys want to give me more drama, you can go on social media and join everybody else.
No, just do some sort of make good. Go into Wawa and order a ton of hoagies or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there's a new one opening right by Independence Hall, so maybe I'll do just that on Friday. They're having a Wawa parade, so I'll do it
then. That could be an idea.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you later.
Oh, that's funny.
That honestly,
funny.
Though, the editors really should have done her a favor. And just wrote hoagie. Just, like...
No, but they said their note said...
Their note was okay.
Yeah, it said we're going to cut her some slack because she's not from Philadelphia. So,
right.
No, but she's... I mean, now we've adopted her and love her. Yeah. We're transplants as well, Preston.
Of course.
And she is not from here, so...
Yeah. Was she from Texas or something?
I'm not sure,
but she's not from Philadelphia.
Well, she visited. She posted a video of her visiting her grandfather, who is in Texas. And I don't know if her nuclear family was from Texas.
I don't know. But anyhow, it's an interesting look at what everybody orders at Wawa. If you haven't seen it yet, it's in Philadelphia Magazine. And
I thought you had a good one. Mine's very uneventful, but it is my order, and I go to it all the time.
Sure,
it was turkey, low fat Swiss. Onions, oregano, mayonnaise on the whole wheat.
I liked Casey's the best.
Yeah, but all right, it's sort of a misrepresentation.
I don't get that
every time I go, but when I go, it's one at least one of those things.
I thought that was your family order.
Yeah.
So did I. I was like, what is he? God, why did he write all this?
So I guess the kids are eating with them.
Yeah. No, I went there yesterday and I walked out. I walked in. I got a Tabasco flavored Monster Slim Jim and I walked out. That was all I got. All right. But I put all of my go-tos. Like, the one thing I will double up with, the Italian shorty.
Well, let me hear it.
Can I read it?
Yeah, read it, Preston.
It says, Tabasco-flavored Monster Slim Jim, blueberry cobbler from Big Gay Ice Cream, Italian shorty toasted with oil, vinegar, pickles, and hot peppers, and spicier nacho Doritos. A small bag.
Not like the regular, you know.
Yeah, gigantic.
I'm arching my figure.
I kind of thought you did that as a joke. Like, all of that stuff and then the small bag of Doritos. Yeah. I thought that was a joke. So, just go with it.
You want to read everyone's? You might as well, Preston.
Yeah, sure. Mine is an Italian shorty with provolone, tomatoes, hot peppers, and mustard. And I should have put the brown mustard because I like the spicy mustard on there. And I usually grab the grapes, cheese, and crackers pack.
You love that.
That I'm addicted to. It's such an easy snack, and it's good. Steve Morrison, classic hoagie on wheat bread. Red turkey, Swiss, mayo, onions, oregano, bottled water. Is the classic is that bigger than the shorty?
Oh, yeah. It's like a 12-inch.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. But since I'm getting so little on it, I need the extra padding.
Then you have Casey, which you already read. Kathy, turkey, whole wheat, shorty with American cheese, a little bit of oil and vinegar, oregano, and then the seven things my son throws on the counter because he thinks that it's all free-for-all. And then Marissa had late-night grilled cheese, wheat bread, American cheese, Munster cheese, tomatoes, and a little bit of spicy mustard toasted. That sounds good. Plus some crazy new chip flavor to snack on while I'm waiting. For daytime or sober run, I just grab a water and two bags of apple slices. And then Nick has a turkey classic. Toasted with spinach, tomatoes, Swiss cheese, honey mustard, salt, pepper, oregano, and Parmesan, a Wawa soft pretzel, a banana, diet orange soda, and a Wawa chocolate chip cookie. That's a lot.
Great Preston, you got to click to page two.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I wish he was here, a diet orange soda?
Yeah.
That's good, man.
I don't think I've ever had a diet orange soda.
And I don't think I've ever seen him drink that.
No, me either.
What is he, undercover brother?
Yeah. By the way, I just want to let you guys know that Big Gay Ice Cream is amazing. And the blueberry cobbler, I don't know if you guys have ever tried it.
I've had a sample. It's great ice cream.
I haven't tried the blueberry cobbler. Super trendy.
Yeah. I think, Preston, that's your kryptonite, right? Ice cream?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Very much so. Trying to stay away
just
from
it. Just try
it.
And listen, if you don't like it, I will pay for it, okay?
Oh, so, no. I very seldom have been at an ice cream that I don't love.
Okay.
And I have been by Big Guy Ice Cream, but I've never been in it. But now they sell them in the pints and the Wawa, so I should grab one.
You know, it's not too bad. Big Trans ice cream.
Really?
Pretty good.
Have you tried any of the Halo
It starts out as one flavor and becomes another one.
Midway through?
It's unbelievable.
Have you tried any of the Halo Tops, the healthy ice creams?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Are they good?
I don't think they're too bad. For being like 100 calories in an entire pint.
Oh, healthy ice cream, whatevs.
But you can eat the whole pint, Casey.
You can eat the whole pint anyway.
What I forgot to mention, what I really like doing, I should have put in that Wawa thing, is I like on the touchscreen order, the menu, I like going into our favorites and seeing what they have, because it's usually stuff that's not on the regular menu. It's not the secret menu, but it's our favorites.
It is
and
cool.
That's where I found the cheeseburger hoagie, which I don't know if it's still on there or not, which is really good. Yeah.
I feel like you told me about that, but some reason I tried to block it out. I don't know why I would try to block it out.
I don't know if it's still on there or not.
That's how I came up with the idea to make like a grilled cheese. If you toast cheese and tomatoes, it's like a grilled cheese. Like my friends do a bowl of mac and cheese with chicken fingers on top.
That is a different name. That's a toasted cheese.
True.
Do you toast?
If you don't grill it. I used to make toasted cheese sandwiches all the time.
Well, do you like to have your sandwich grilled?
Grilled
or toasted or whatever.
Toasted, absolutely.
Yeah, if I have time.
Yeah, if I have time. Yeah,
and that's really what it all boils down to. When I was in college, I invented the 29-cent hoagie, and all that was is I just bought a roll for 29 cents, and I handed it to Andy at the counter. Said, "Can you just throw all the fixings on it, you know?" So it was lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles.
I like how you claim.
Yeah.
Walking through that door, I invented that.
You know what? I forgot which sandwich place it is, but finally, and this is a creation that I was eating since I was a kid because it was more prevalent in St. Louis where I grew up, which is cheese garlic bread.
Really?
Oh, my God. And there's a place that's making sandwiches with those. I forgot. I saw the commercial on TV. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing that for years. I love that. I haven't had cheese garlic bread in a long time.
Then
but that was a standard go-to.
I want to thank you Midwesterners for bringing that to the parking lots of Fish and Grateful Dead concerts.
Because,
yeah. Honest to God, like the grilled cheeses you would buy in those parking lots were so much better than a regular because it had the garlic on it.
Okay. All right. So, but it's not regular sandwich bread. It's got to be like a French roll.
Okay.
And, or an Italian roll. And, and then you have garlic butter on it, and then you put cheese on top of that. Provel, not provolone.
Who did the French bread pizzas? Stouffer's. Stouffer's.
Yeah.
Those were great. I was on a massive kick for those for a long time. Loved them.
Yeah.
They still are. Don't like talk about them like they're dead. They're still there.
Are they still there?
Still delicious.
Casey gets upset when you prematurely report the death of a food.
Well, I just had them not too. I was so mad because it's two in a box, right? Yeah. And I came home. I was like, dude, I'm gonna. And it's the pepperoni is the best one.
I would love to see. Listen, I love your love of food, and you beat yourself up and everything. You're too hard on yourself. But the truth of the matter is that I love people who's my nephew. Nobody loves donuts more than my nephew, and my nephew will literally do like a donut dance with his eyes closed when he's eating a donut.
I love it.
So I want to see you pulling them French bread pizzas out of the box and preparing them. Do you get a look on your face?
Well, you know, I had a look on my face that particular day because there's two, right?
Yeah.
Two pieces of pizza for me. And apparently I had to share it when I got home. Because like, oh, you bro, you got pizza? I'm like,
for me.
Didn't you
I could have taken care of you with a condom.
I hate it when people
point
out that you have some and you actually have to offer up some of yours.
This is for me.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Daddy wants!
What were you going to say?
I don't know. We're like so past it. Well, one, Steve, Jace does like the dance if he's eating something that he likes. And he like hums along. He's like.
That Kathy, we were upstate New York and it was quiet. You know, I was at my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's. They had a little house up there in, I forget where it is. But it's upstate New York. And she's quiet. And on the front lawn of the house, standing by a tree, he's there with the donut, holding it with two hands, with his eyes closed.
They just love it so much.
I need to eat this outside. I mean, he was in heaven.
I've told you my sister and my uncle do the bounce.
Yes.
They do this when they have dinner. It's funny as hell.
Because they love it so much?
They love it so much. Mm-mm-mm. That's where the mm-mm-mm comes
from. My wife and her older brother, they close their eyes after every bite, and which is... You know what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, that's me.
It's an apple.
He doesn't do it for apples. It's got to be something special.
I love you, Kathy.
Like a salad.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
With onions in it.
That is good water.
By the way, what movie is it where they say, you know, the kid's blowing bubbles and he...
Deep throat.
Oh, that's not funny.
And somebody says, man, I wish I loved... anything as much as a kid loves, you know,
blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
Right. Who's Bubbles?
Yeah.
What's a pet without Bubbles? Come here, Bubbles. Okay. Come here.
All right. Anyhow, you know what would go good right now? Some of that pulled pork from Duffer's Tavern.
Oh, man.
Who's here this morning?
I was sampling.
In conjunction with Casey's appearance tomorrow night, and the MM Army will be there, too. You know what? I have $50 gift cards. Let me give away. I think they're $50, aren't they?
You picked it up first.
Okay. Oh, yes. So let's take call number 10, and I'll give you one. 215-263-WMMR. What are we doing? Talk about food here. We got to do the bizarre file.
We haven't even done traffic yet.
What?
Oh, God. Kathy, we didn't even do traffic.
We forgot.
Cats are barking and dogs are meowing.
We went on Fox Good Day. So what do you have for us, Kathy?
295 northbound jams from Route 30 to 73. That accident cleared. 55 northbound heavy Deptford to 42. The accident there cleared as well. And then 42 freeway northbound slowing College Drive to 295. The accident at 168 now gone. Schuylkill Expressway westbound slowing University to South Street. Heavy the Boulevard out to Gladwin and then the Blue Road to 202. Eastbound side backing up from 202 into Belmont and then the Boulevard to Spring Garden. 95 southbound jams Cotman through to Girard at Allegheny. That accident gone. Northbound on 95 backing up from 452 to Curland Street. The Blue Route northbound slows 95 to Route 1. Southbound mid-county tolls to the Schuylkill. And then Route 1 to Media. Pennsylvania Turnpike westbound backing up Ben Salem to Fort Washington. 422 eastbound jams Limerick to Royers Ford. And then Route 1 out in Princeton southbound. So it's the Scudder's Mill Road to Washington Road. That's jam traffic there. This traffic report brought to you by Panera Bread this holiday season. Get friends and family something they'll love. A Panera Bread gift card. For every $50 in gift cards purchased, you'll get a $10 bonus card. For more details, visit your local Panera. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
By the way, Casey, the movie is knocked up. A lot of people are texting
in. The clip is just running here. They got it. Right. So, yeah, it's a funny scene.
All right, let's do the bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
And this morning, the B-File brought to you by Heritage Business Systems, the documented imaging equipment solution. Is Heritage Business Systems, service, satisfaction, reliability. That's Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer. A man was arrested after police say he knocked over a roommate's Christmas tree while intoxicated. And then he fired about 15 shots from a handgun at the two people that were inside the house. Police say that the homeowner and his son were in their kitchen when a roommate identified as 56-year-old Randall Weed Dickinson.
He's the roommate and he's 56?
And his middle name is Weed.
Yeah, I like weed.
Randall was highly intoxicated at the residence and fell into the Christmas tree while attempting to cross the living room.
There's supposed to be two Stouffer's pizzas in this box.
The other residents told the man to go back to his room because he was drunk, and police say that he responded by firing about 15 shots from a handgun at the homeowner and his son.
Ho, ho, yo!
The bullets struck appliances and went through walls, but no one was hit by the gunfire. The other two residents disarmed Dickinson after he had discharged all the ammunition in his weapon, and then they pinned him until police arrived.
It's just not Christmas till weed shoots a hole in the ceiling.
Dickinson was taken to a hospital for treatment for injuries he suffered during the incident, but specific details about those injuries are not available. He was booked into the county jail and faces charges of felony discharge of a firearm, criminal mischief, and two counts of aggravated assault.
There may have been some bad life choices for weed.
I think so. Police say Dickinson was living with one of the victims, but did not elaborate on the nature of that relationship.
I like blowing bubbles.
videos making the rounds on the internet purportedly show multiple rock formations being destroyed, and the original poster of the video said the incidents occurred in Utah. This is ridiculous. Now, there's some questions about it, though. One video that the poster said shows an arch, a natural arch, being blown up. Was originally posted on LiveLeak and was titled Utah Arch Destroyed. The video was also posted to YouTube shortly thereafter.
Do we know what this is? This valid?
Well, they're questioning it. So an additional video that appeared to show what are called hoodoos, which are long towers of rock with a boulder precariously perched on top. You've seen these.
They're
before.
Amazing.
Yeah, they're an incredible natural formation. Well, they have videos of those being toppled and exploded with the title Eco-Terrorism, Utah Hoodoos being destroyed. Many commenters on the post questioned the authenticity of the videos, while several others expressed shock that anyone would purposefully destroy the formations. The Utah Department of Natural Resources and Division of Parks and Recreation released the following statement on the video, saying we are currently working to determine the authenticity of both and reaching out to other state and federal agencies to identify exact locations. The destruction of natural rock formations on public land is a crime and will be prosecuted. Formations like hoodoos and arches take tens of thousands of years to form and can be destroyed in seconds when people act carelessly and irresponsibly. Please protect Utah's public lands.
We were just looking at the footage, and it looks a little forced perspective-y.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that's not the case, because that would be a tremendous loss.
Yeah, it would be. A Facebook video of a 17-year-old worker airing his grievances over a Walmart intercom system and then quitting his job is attracting some online attention. I had Marissa grab the audio for me yesterday. Yeah. The video entitled How I Quit My Job Today was posted to Jackin Rassicott's Facebook page around 4 p.m. on Thursday and shows him dialing into the intercom system at a Walmart and addressing shoppers, associates, and management in a speech that could rival Howard Beale's famous I'm as mad as hell monologue from the movie Network. Rassicott said, I got fed up. And he said that he felt employees were not being treated well and others should know about it. He said that he had been working in various Walmart departments for a little over a year and a half. He said, I don't regret what I did. I went into this knowing what will happen. And Marissa, did you edit it? Because there's some
naughty words.
So here is him on the intercom system in Walmart.
Associates and management, I would like to say to all of you today that nobody should work here ever. Our managers will make promises and never keep them. And not only that, they will preach to us about how they care about their employees. But about a month ago, my boss, assistant manager Cora, called me a waste of time and management did nothing to help. Management will also try and save money every step of the way, including cutting benefits of a full-time associate down to part-time, even though he worked 40-plus hours a week. I've been a loyal employee here for over a year and a half, and I'm sick of all the bullshit, bogus write-ups, and my job. Management, this job, Walmart.
All right. Then he gets out of there. He had said that he had already secured a new job before his rant, and he knew that that was the way he was going to quit.
Unfortunately, it was at another Walmart across town.
Walmart responded in a statement Friday saying, we are aware of the video circulating online and are disappointed by this incident. Respect for all individuals, including our associates and customers, is a core value at Walmart. We're looking into this matter and we'll address it internally as requested. And then we'll do one more and then we got to wrap up. Let's go with this one. We think of them as pets. As pests. But a Chinese city is using cockroaches as a means to dispose of waste. In Jinan, which is the capital of Eastern Shandong Province, a billion cockroaches are being fed with 50 tons of kitchen waste a day, the equivalent in weight to 7 adult elephants. The plant is run by Shandong Agricultural Technology Company.
Shandong.
And the company plans to set up 3 more such plants next year, aiming to process a third of the kitchen waste produced where some 7 million people live. And the president says that the cockroaches are eventually fed to pigs and other livestock. So
Wow, that is kind of wild.
Isn't it, though? All right. And
this eating cockroach thing, though, which they say, this provides a good protein source. No. Sorry.
There's other things that are good protein sources. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take a quick break. Reminder that we have a secret text word today. A chance for you to win some tickets to see Dane Cook, who's going to be at the Met on March 30th. Tickets go on sale Friday, by the way. And there is a pre-sale at 10 a.m. on Thursday while supplies last. And we'll send out a word to you if you text word secret to 39333. See if you know it a little bit later on, and we'll grab a random text too. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
We have a couple of guys we're going to meet for the first time from your Philadelphia Wings lacrosse team, which will be debuting their season opener on Saturday. It's Chris. I got to ask how to pronounce these guys. Are new to us. I don't know them yet. Anthony Joaquim and Chris Clotier. Is that how you say his name?
Cloutier.
Sounds pretty
Cloutier.
Good.
Cloutier.
Not really sure.
Yeah, but Clotier sounds very continental.
When they are here, we are going to have a chance for you to win some tickets to not only go to the Wings home opener, But we're going to set you up to sit in the warmest, wettest, and most unique seat in the house. They actually have, on the mezzanine level, a hot tub set up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you can watch the game in the hot tub.
Mm.
And they're from Half Price Hot Tubs. So I will tell you when to call in to win tickets. It'll be when those guys are here, but you'll be able to go for the first time ever and hang out in a hot tub during a sporting event at the Wells Fargo Center. Yeah, I love the song.
What if you show up, though, Preston, and he's around the corner?
I've been waiting for you.
Oh, my God.
You know.
You have a family.
Gary.
Oh, no.
You know what? They should offer that for other things.
What?
I mean, concerts and stuff.
Oh, my God. You imagine just watching a concert?
Absolutely.
Be phenomenal.
Watching Bachman Turner Overdrive from a hot tub.
BTO!
It's a dream come true.
I love this idea. There are a couple of baseball stadiums in the league that have like pools and stuff like that in the outfield.
Yep.
Totally down with that.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's the coolest thing.
As long as they can ensure that it's been completely chlorined and antiseptic.
I would think they'd take care of that. So anyhow, when those guys come in, we'll have a chance to win. All right, our next guest is ready to go. It's always a treat to have him on. A couple times a year we like to talk to him. He's got his various awards, and he's going to be talking about the top 10 scenes of the year.
Yes.
And we welcome our good friend, as you said, the savant of all things skin.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Skin is on this morning. Mr. Skin, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. It's good to have you on once again. How have things been in the land of nudity?
Really good. You know, I've been, this is my 19th year of doing a top 10 list at the end of the year, which in itself is pretty crazy. And I realized that. And I think about when I started MrSkin.com in 1999, there were 4 television shows with nudity. Now there's 147 across 35 platforms. So
it's unbelievable.
I think I got into the right business, if you know what I mean.
No, and it's been increasing exponentially as you just verified. And I think we're students of you over the years because. Whereas Mr. Skin, you probably started, there was a little bit more on the,
prurient. It was all movies. Every Tuesday when the new release Blu-rays had come out, that was a big deal, and we'd try to get some nude scenes from that. And there was a good amount, but now, when you add Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime doing original programming, it really is ridiculous how many different avenues there are for nudity and on television.
My point is that you've actually applied more artistic parameters to your assessments because now there's such a wealth of it. You know, you've become sort of the James Lipton of nudity. That there's, you know, there's now you can take it because there's so much available. It's not like, well, okay, we got to judge from this. You can actually say, okay, you know, you're assessing how is it lit, you know, or there.
It's not easy to make the top 10, and it's kind of silly to even try to make a top 10 because it really is so much. And what I think is a great nude scene, someone else may think, I like something better, and you know, it's fun. Listen, I have the greatest job in the world. I'm sitting here talking about the best nude scenes of the year. Who cares if someone thinks someone should have been in the top 10?
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, we were watching the video on your website, and the production quality has really skipped up over the years, too.
Yeah.
The packaging of it is fantastic.
No, thanks. I have a really, crack staff, as you can imagine. And
no doubt.
They take a lot of pride in what they do.
You know what amazes me, Mr. Skinner? We'll start like with number 10, your Dakota Johnson. Those 50 Shades movies, you know, based on the books, I thought, okay, when it made it to the screen and they were going for a more commercial, broad-based audience appeal, that they were going to sort of phone it in a little bit.
Oh, no.
No, they've been aggressively... sexual.
Well, yes, but let me give you guys a stat that'll blow your mind. So 50 Shades Grey was the first one in 15. Then they did 50 Shades Darker. And my number 10 nude scenes of the year was Dakota Johnson and 50 Shades Freed, the third in the trilogy. 50 Shades Freed came out this year in February 9th in theaters. It has grossed in ticket sales $371 million worldwide.
It's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, if you think it was because it got good reviews, do you think it's because Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson are these fantastic actors, you know?
Yeah, no, but it's so they deliver what people were looking for in the books, they've delivered cinematically.
Yes. And right, I will say there was a... rarely do you get suburban house, you know, suburban soccer moms to go to R-rated sex movies, but 50 Shades was able to pull it off.
All right, so what's the particulars? What scene is this that you have...
Well, the one I chose, and believe me, there was a lot. That's another difficult situation. Which scene in a movie with tons of nudity to choose? I chose the scene at the 44-minute mark, the blindfold scene, but she was naked like 8 times between the 4-minute mark and the 44-minute mark. So take your choice. Yeah.
All right. Are we going to go through the whole top 10? Do we have time?
Whatever you guys want, I could give you the highlights.
Yeah, give us the highlights.
Yeah, let's do the highlights.
For example, number 7. If you guys don't mind seeing Stanley Tucci semi-nude, you'll love this.
that's the caveat.
Yeah, it's Addison Timlin in a movie called Submission, which came out on March 2nd in theaters. And Stanley plays a professor who takes a special liking to one of his students. And they end up in her dorm room, and she gets completely nude at the 49-minute mark. And she's really gorgeous. You might remember her in season 4 of Californication. She had an affair, like every actress on Californication has an affair with David Duchovny. She was only 20 at the time. In Californication, now she's 27 and is our number 7 nude scene of the year, which is pretty incredible.
If I may call up one, actually, I love the Jack Ryan series.
Good, because I didn't know if you guys knew that show. But
loved it, yeah.
Yeah, so John Krasinski, Jim from The Office, plays Jack Ryan in this, and this is an Amazon Prime original programming. And think about that. Amazon Prime doing a television show this good with, by the way, tons of great nudity, including my number 8 nude scene, which was Dina Shahabi. She plays a wife of an Islamic terrorist. And there were a lot of other women naked. That was a big thing. A lot of people watched this like you did. But the big response I got from guys were, I can't believe there were so many nude scenes in that.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise because the action is top-notch. And yeah. I would hold the series up against any of the movies.
Yeah. And I love his love interest in that. I don't know what her name is.
What was the name of his love interest in the series, Mr. Skin?
Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
Right.
You mean the girl that like the main girl that he's hooking up?
Yes.
Abby Cornish. Is
yes.
That who you're thinking
That's
of?
It. I love her.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So continue. Another highlight.
Yeah. Another one would be. Now, we're of around the same age, so guys like us probably don't know any of the actresses from ABC Family. But
no, you'd be surprised.
Well, yeah, because if we have kids or something, then watch it. But there's a show called Pretty Little Liars, or there was, that aired for like 8 years. And the girl that played Aria on Pretty Little Liars, her name is Lucy Hale. And I would get asked, over the last 5 or 6 years, all the time in emails to my website or when I go on radio shows, has Lucy Hale, Aria, ever done a nude scene? And I'd always say no, until this year, a movie called Dude came out, and all hail Lucy Hale. It was worth the wait. It's a great, great nude
Mr.
scene.
Mr. Skin approves.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this, it's really good. And it's always weird when someone comes from ABC Family and then does an R-rated sex scene, you know?
It is wild. We were talking about someone yesterday. I don't think anything exists in the way of this so far for her, but Haley Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not yet, but yeah, you're right. And
she's a solid actress.
She's a stunner, too.
And these girls that come from, you know, it was like, you remember when Anne Hathaway was in Princess Diaries.
Yes.
So she was known as she was like this sweet Disney girl. And all of a sudden she did a movie called Havoc where she ends up having sex with East LA gangbangers. It's very tough on the mind when that happens. So.
When someone is coming to you, so just to understand the process quickly, you have your people who are scouring all these things because it's just too voluminous for you alone to do it, I assume. And so they curate. Do they come to you, and then is it basically you're Thor sitting there and
yeah, if you're wondering, so I have about about 10 people that work for me out of my 40 employees. Their full-time job is just go through all the movies and television.
You have more people that work for you than at this radio station.
Yeah, they're sitting at computer screens going through this. In the very early days, I used to do this alone, but there wasn't as much stuff, obviously, but I still was a one-man band. And then what we do is they take this stuff, and we have within our company an internal chat service where I can – they get it. They go through it. They post it, and I could see it kind of almost in real time, meaning as soon as they see it. And, you know, so that's how I keep abreast of what's going on. But they, but they do all the legwork, and then I just see the finished product.
Yeah.
And it's the best way to do it.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Well, I would say number four is really cool. It's there's a show from Netflix called Glow.
Yes.
Which is the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It was an 80s wrestling federation of female wrestlers. And in season one, the first episode, Allison Brie, better known as Annie from Community, made her new debut. That was a big deal. That made my top 10 nude scenes of the year. But this year, season two, episode seven, Betty Gilpin, an actress you might know from Nurse Jackie and a couple other places, she did a long shower scene, really great, completely nude. And you guys get this, but like that is such an 80s locker room she's in with the blue tile and the glass.
It is.
That's what I remember as a locker room as a kid.
And I remember the actual Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah.
They weren't so gorgeous.
No. Yeah. No, especially those really big ones, you know. But
yes.
Yeah, I got you. But they also have that in here, too. They
right.
have them in. So, yeah.
All right. So so we're down to a couple. Give us the one super money shot from the remaining.
I would have to say number one is really the one that I was blown away by, and I chose it number one. It's Jennifer Lawrence in the movie Red Sparrow. And if people ask you, who's the biggest Hollywood actress today, you have to go with Jennifer Lawrence because of The Hunger Games, X-Men. She won an Oscar for Silver Linings Playbook. She's the biggest star right now. She plays in this movie a Russian ballerina who gets recruited by a secret government agency to become a super spy. In this scene, she's in front of a class of other recruits. To prove she can seduce someone, she strips completely naked and has sex with a guy in front of her classroom of recruits. It's really a powerful scene.
Well,
Jennifer Lawrence, a huge A-list actress, that's pretty amazing.
I just saw the movie, and I thought it was going to be more like she's, you know, like the one that...
Jennifer Garner?
All of those, like Salt or the
Atomic Blonde
or any of those. Yeah, so that she was more just a psycho... killing machine, but the truth of the matter is the one of the main tools in her arsenal in this movie is the power of seduction, which comes up over and over again.
Yes. And like I said, for an A-list, the biggest star in the world to do a scene like this was, and she's gorgeous, and she was completely nude. Very powerful and very awesome, and my number one nude scene of 2018.
All right, quick question. How soon before we will, because we're now getting into award season, the Anatomy Awards.
The Anatomy Awards, the Oscars are the 25th of February, so my Anatomy Awards will be, you know, sometime right around there. It always kind of, we haven't decided yet, but it'll be the week of or the week after. And that's always fun for me because it's a way to curate all the incredible stuff we see over the course of a year from all over the world. And that's my big promotion, and I'm really looking forward to it. And there's so much crazy, wild nudity that you guys, there's just not enough time in a day for you guys to know about all the stuff that happened.
Yeah, and I love what you do with the Anatomy Awards versus the Top Ten, because you take specific categories that narrow in on things, as opposed to just a great scene. And still our favorite is the best swingers. Which I don't think you had last year. I think that was
Alexandra Daddario. Swingers, for anyone out there, means where you have such incredible natural breasts that from the back you could still see the breasts.
Now, lest anyone think this is just one-sided, you have a site for the ladies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a, sh-
a website called Mr. Man, and we did a male version of this where we have the top 10 nude scenes of the year. And you don't want to miss our Manatomy Awards, which will be out at the same time as the Anatomy Awards.
All right, one final mind-blowing question for you. Of all of the now, you talked about just starting with a couple of different sources for this stuff. Of all of the sources feeding into the vault at Mr. Skin, between the Hulus and the Netflix and the actual networks and HBOs, which one consistently provides the most content?
As today, Netflix is blowing everyone away. It used to be HBO. Like, if you asked me this question like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, HBO was king. Netflix has 38 active television shows, active, that feature some sort of nudity that we're getting for our website. The next closest is like 14.
Wow. Okay, so yeah. Netflix dominating.
Netflix is king.
Wow. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. That's all good,
thank
man.
God for Netflix.
Thank God for Netflix.
Yep. Plus, they do original movies, too. It's not just television.
No.
I bet you original movies.
15 of your employees are just working Netflix alone. Very cool.
Yeah, the Netflix accounts we have, yeah.
All right, man, that's awesome.
All right, Mr. Skin, we'll be talking to you in February then. So,
guys, and this list is all for free right at the front page of our site if anyone wants to check
it out. MrSkin.com. Let us not forget that this is all free content, by the way.
Worth checking out.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, good to talk to you, Mr. Skin.
Great talking to you guys.
We'll chat soon. There he goes,
Mr. Skin.
He's got 40 people working for him.
I mean, it is. But the thing is that... You could sort of just dismiss it, but he lovingly takes time with this. I would love to hear what the categories are if we have swingers in the Mr. Skin. What about the site for women? What are the various categories for that, and what are their classifications?
Yeah. I opened the site before the interview, and I mean, it's essentially a porn site at this point.
Well, not. I mean, there's no graphic. I mean, there's just nudity.
Yes.
Really?
I mean, maybe not like what you watch. But yes. I was shocked to see
he kissed her with his tongue out.
I was shocked to see the video on the front page.
I guess technically, yes. If it's nudity and that's considered pornography, then yeah.
If you want to mess with a friend or a coworker today, just have them type up Mr. Skin real quick and hit send on their computer.
Because
the video is very surprising.
Yeah. But I love talking to him.
Yes, he knows his stuff.
Do we have a couple minutes to play with Case or?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I did have a couple things in the junk drawer. I think it should be a good time to get rid of some stuff because otherwise they come and go.
And they rot.
I don't get a chance to give them the love that they deserve. This story came out a couple of days ago. Bohemian Rhapsody. Of course, by Queen, is apparently aging gracefully, to say the least. On Monday, Universal Music Group announced that that song is officially the most streamed track from the 20th century.
Wow.
Achieving more than 1.6 billion global streams.
Billion!
It's like a billion. And that qualification also makes it the most streamed classic rock song of all time. Edging out Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine, and November Rain, and A-ha's Take On Me, apparently...
Was high up?
Was way up there,
wow.
too.
Wow,
yeah.
That is. It's funny because I don't know of anybody... I've never met anybody. It's not that I go around and just ask people, but I've never met anyone who does not like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Well, my son is now a huge fan. And
is he?
And knows all the words.
When that song came out, Preston, you know, it was... You had not heard anything. And I know it's depicted in the movie because it was just... I mean, obviously you'd heard the Beatles and so on and so forth. But at that time, there was nothing being released that was anywhere remotely like that.
And it has had, several resurgences. Obviously, when it first came out was the big one. And then in the mid-90s with Wayne's World, there was a resurgence there. And we're not talking remakes or, you know, covers of it. It's always been, the original. And
the reason being is because nobody could ever do that justice by covering it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, go ahead.
No, and then most recently with the new movie coming out, so it's reaching new audiences.
Yes.
I'll tell you, after Wayne's World, I got a little sick of it. I think it was too much. But
It's like it's back. Yeah. Like it comes back around. Like,
it after Wayne's World for a while, it became cliche after a little while, and now it's just now I think people are appreciating it for what it is. Awesome piece of music, and there's a resurgence in the band too, which is really cool. Brian May said in a statement, so the river of rock music has metamorphosed into streams. Very happy that our music is still flowing to the max, he said. Last month, following the release of Bohemian Rhapsody, the song reentered the Hot 100 at number 33, marking its third appearance on the chart. And yes, Casey, it would have been the first time it came out, then Wayne's World, and now this movie. That's really cool. Most streamed song in the 20th century. So I didn't want to let that go.
No.
Okay, so Icy's. Icy's are, they're not, the drink.
Oh. No, but they're back too. Freaky Freezies.
Oh, Freaky Freezies.
I follow them on Instagram. Freakies.
What are those? Freakies.
They're the gloves that the image pops up when you when they get cold.
Okay.
Or with heat. Right. Yeah,
what?
It changes color. When we were kids.
Yeah. I was never a kid. When I was a kid, we were...
You were in
a little bighorn.
You didn't have gloves.
Icy drinks that you get like at
Wawa.
Wawa has Icy.
Got you.
They have a new flavor that's coming out, and I'm intrigued by this. Now, I'm not a big Slurpee or Icy drinker. My kids drink them all the time. They still love them. But they're coming out with Sugar Plum. That sounds pretty good.
Sugar Plum?
Yeah.
I am...
I don't know...
What is Sugar Plum?
What is a Sugar Plum? I have no idea.
I only know it from the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Right. So you're saying it sounds like that music?
No. the company describes it as a refreshing, frozen, carbonated beverage. The purple and pink colored drink is available in more than 1,500 Target stores nationwide.
Sound coming from
now until January 31st. So
there we go.
Yeah. So this is Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, by the way.
What does a sugar plum taste like?
I have no idea. It just sounds really good.
I know what plums taste like.
Yeah. Marissa, can you pull? Oh, here,
my plums.
It's my plums. Nice and ripe. Sugar plum is a piece of dragé or hard candy. Made of hardened sugar in a small, round, or oval shape. So it's a piece of hard candy.
I had no idea.
Plum, in the name of this confection, does not mean plum in the sense...
Plums. Big, succulent plums.
Of the fruit of the same name, but referred to small size and spherical or oval shape. Traditional sugar plums contained no fruit, but were instead hardened sugar balls. These hardened sugar balls were comfits.
Oh, my balls!
And often surrounded a seed, nut, or spice. Could there be any more
sexual?
Yeah.
Just throw in vagina and we have a complete. Then the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies involves confections and candy.
Well, yeah, the Sugar Plum Fairy, I guess, is a mythical being that creates the candies or something along those lines.
Well, she's real.
So I used to bounce at Club Glow.
Real?
She's real.
Is she? Oh,
yes.
Does she come to your house or something?
The Sugar Plum Fairy is real.
I've never met the Sugar Plum.
By the way, your mommy's a bitch for not letting you have the brownie mix because it's totally fine.
Oh my God, he's never had a Slurpee or an Icy.
Well, really?
And is that per your decree?
He's never asked for it.
Why force it?
Why do it? Yeah, I agree.
Here, eat this.
Yeah, don't
you little bastard.
There's bugs in that.
Oh God, no, that's yucky. Bugs. Yeah.
I feel like
see those little purple things on top. Yeah. They're bugs. They're little bugs, purple bugs.
Wait a second. I'm on to you, woman. Yeah.
I feel like this would probably sell better if it were blue. For some reason, kids like blue things more than...
No, my daughter would absolutely die if she saw purple and pink.
Yeah.
How
dare you make a sweeping statement
like
that?
All over it.
Unicorn just had some sparkles
in
that.
Totally. And unicorns are... man, I'm big into corns.
Everything is unicorn and glitter right now.
What is that?
That's from Central Intelligence.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big into corn.
Man, I'm big into corns. So anyhow, that's going to be a limited flavor. How about this? Retro holiday decorations are all the rage this holiday season.
I do love retro.
I do love retro.
I like the old style large Christmas bulbs, like the kind that you see in Christmas Story.
Yes. Well, there's one in particular. Southern Living notes that vintage ceramic Christmas trees are being sold every day this holiday season.
I made one.
Just thinks I'm Christmas ceramic trees. Do you have them there?
So I made one last year.
You did?
And then this
you
year.
You made ceramic Christmas trees
yes,
last year?
Yes, and then last, I mean, this year, now they're all over the place. Everyone's selling them.
Did you go to a ceramics place and paint and then have them fire
yes,
it and everything?
Right.
I
exactly.
love this. So, Kathy, we have.
And then we put glitter snow on it.
We have this, and we have. So my wife has collected over the years some different, there are different collections that I love that sort of ceramic, you know, glazed
yeah.
kiln look. And so I we have some pieces that would rock your world. But this, there's a picture up of the of a classic Christmas tree like this, and I love these.
That's what exactly what I made. Mine was all green, and I did.
Did it look good, or did it look horrible?
No, I have a picture. I'm going to pull it up for you.
Okay. I want to see it. Do you guys remember this? I don't know if you guys had these, but we had them, and we always hung them up on our windows, but they were...
Cat heads?
No. It was essentially like melted wax pictures. Do you know what
No.
It had
of the devil?
No, it had a texture to it. And they were fairly sizable. You'd be like a wax-ish, but like wax beads that were all melted together and would, you know, come up with, it would be like a picture like Santa Claus or a snowman.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Wait, when you were a little kid, you mean you like put them on a thing and you put them in the oven and they melt together?
No, not like that. No, no. Oh, okay. These were like real deal, decorations, and we would hang them. We had a covered porch. And we would hang them up in the windows.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Kathy's tree came out. Look at that. That's pretty.
That's very pretty,
freaking good.
Ooh, like Kathy, the decor is.
Did you
perfect.
Wire
Did you make
it
that
as well?
In floral and hardy?
No, this was actually a woman who runs classes.
Abbott and Christello?
No, she runs classes out of her basement. She's in Langhorne. And, yes, she does all of these holiday ceramics. And she does every holiday.
Wow.
So, yeah,
that's good.
We went last year for Christmas. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. It was fun.
My mom and her friends used to make these in the 80s. We had one growing up. And then it just broke. So I need that woman's name so I can take her to make one.
There's a ceramic place in Skipac as well that you can go to.
Oh, well, maybe I'll stop there on Thursday.
When you're floral and hardy.
I'm heading back.
There's a woman who lives. Let's get back.
Wait a minute. Casey, I'm having a hard time envisioning what you're talking about.
I know.
Melted wax?
I assume that the material is wax.
Okay. Maybe people are calling in. We're getting some calls.
Please,
maybe they can verify.
Because I'm sort of aware of what you're talking. It's a very old look to it, right? Casey, it's a very
yes.
vintage look.
Very vintage. Yep. I would say like 70s, 80s.
Okay.
And we had them for Christmas. A bunch of different types of holidays. And I'm maybe I'm getting the verbiage wrong or maybe the material wrong, but it had to have been wax. Maybe plastic.
Yes.
Maybe plastic.
Hang on. Nancy says.
Maybe plastic.
Plastics. Let me go to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Well, Nancy, do you have an idea? You. Can you interpret here, please?
Yes, I actually have one. It's almost like it looks like it was melted in the oven. It's huge. It's literally like... 2 feet, I guess, and you have to put like a string through it and hang it like from some kind of, you know, like your window in the middle where the locks are.
Yeah.
And I still have one today. It's like the only one I have left. I've had it since my grandmother.
We're looking at it. It sort of looks like.
Oh, yes. I remember these.
Yeah.
I think it's.
Yeah.
What would you call that style of
it's
art?
It's called plastic popcorn.
Plastic popcorn.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
These are. Marissa pulled it up on Pinterest, and the name for that is popcorn or plastic popcorn.
Yep. Interesting.
And they only had a few of them. It was almost like there was only a snowman or a Santa Claus or a Christmas tree.
So okay. do they wear well, or do they tend to disintegrate?
No, they wore well. I mean, that was our go to. We obviously would hang up Christmas lights, and then those things would hang in our windows, and we used those for years and years. I can't remember when they. When they went away.
Would you hang anything by the chimney with care?
I would.
Okay.
We didn't have a chimney.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Thank you, Nancy. Appreciate
it.
We
set ourselves on fire.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
You know,
okay.
So
no chimney?
Growing up, we never had a chimney, but we would always put the cardboard chimney up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
With, you know, the fake fire.
Oh,
and all that. We always put that up, and my mom still does that. I mean, I actually have two fireplaces in my house now, but the cardboard fireplace goes up in her little apartment.
Well, I guess if you put a cardboard fireplace up, Santa kind of turns it real for a moment with
for
the
a
magic
moment. Yep.
And then uses it for what it's supposed to be used
that
for.
That guy is so talented.
He is, man.
My dad used to love our fireplace. He would use it quite liberally. And I told you the story about how he confused the logs, the quick burning logs,
the Duraflames.
Mm-hmm. First came out.
Oh, no.
He confused them with regular logs. And so put about four of them in the fireplace. The heat was so intense that I was blowing glass in the basement. I mean, even the pets were going, Jesus Christ.
You're only supposed to burn those and not wood with them, but I do the wood with them.
Do you?
Yeah, it was supposed to be just one log.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what's really good if you want to grill food? You do that over a door flame.
Another
story. Yeah.
That's another story.
What were we trying to make? We were trying to.
We were grilling for a bit on the show, maybe a pork chop, and instead of charcoal briquettes, you got
a
Duraflame.
Duraflame log. I didn't have them. I got this. We're like, we can't. Dude, it would be so full of chemicals. But anyway.
We digress.
Vintage ceramic trees are making a comeback. So
I do love them. Kathy, make you one.
I totally will if you want me to make you one.
One more thing. Let's talk about James Bond for a moment.
Oh, yeah!
James Bond, no stranger to cocktails. Drinks, of course, including his dry martini, lemon peel, shaken, not stirred. But they would also include celebratory champagne and even occasional beer. In fact, in 24 movies over the past 6 decades, James Bond, was seen sipping on alcohol precisely 109 times, according to a study published in the Medical Journal of Australia. Public health experts analyzed Bond films from 62 to 2015 to better understand his patterns of alcohol use, and their findings: Bond had a severe and chronic drinking problem.
So he's a raging alcoholic.
And he performs some pretty risky maneuvers while under the influence of alcohol. And they go through it very detailed. So this is according to the lead author, Nick Wilson. He said, chronic risks include frequently drinking prior to fights, driving vehicles, including in chases, high-stakes gambling, operating complex machinery or devices, contact with dangerous animals, extreme athletic performance, and sex with enemies, sometimes with guns or knives in the bed. The study, entitled License to Swill, James Bond's Drinking Over 6 Decades, won joint first place in the Medical Journal of Australia's Christmas competition. Wilson, the lead study author, said in an email to the Washington Post that the Bond movies are very good for studying trends and behaviors such as smoking and drinking. He added that it was also a fun study to do, and the ridiculousness of some of Bond's actions after drinking helped give the work some scope for a laugh. Not unlike, Casey, the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where she drinks all the shots and then turns around and then they take out all these guys in the bar.
Yeah.
Because she should have been fall down,
hammered,
about to die drunk.
Yeah.
The study found that the British spy met more than half of the criteria for alcohol use disorders as defined by the American Psychiatric Association's classification. In one film, Quantum of Solace, Bond consumes at least 6 Vespers. His concoction, consisting of gin, vodka, and a blend of wines called Quina Lillet. That amount of alcohol, according to the researchers, would have raised Bond's blood alcohol level to an estimated 0.36 grams per deciliter, almost high enough to cause a coma, heart failure, or even death.
And look what he pulls off.
And look what he does.
He's amazing.
Machine.
You know, Blofeld, you're such a dick.
But that drinking...
I'm serious, you stupid volcano house.
That
stupid bald... petting your stupid cat.
That drinking incident, the researchers noted, doesn't even compare with one instance in a Bond book in which 007 consumed 50 units of alcohol in a single day, a level of consumption which would kill nearly every single human being that ever tried to do
it. I love it.
It's not the first time researchers have analyzed Bond's bad habit, by the way.
How come you don't have any other letters in your name?
A 2013 study published in the British Medical Journal found that 007's alcohol intake in the books put him at high risk of multiple alcohol-related diseases and an early death, and noted that his ability to function is inconsistent with the physical, mental, and indeed sexual functioning expected from someone drinking this much alcohol.
He became a liability because Spectre was able to track him from the glow of his liver.
Well, speaking of his liver, it seems he's not immune to the consequences of alcoholism. In 2002's Die Another Day, a medical professional conducting a body scan on Bond alluded to an alcohol-induced health issue, saying, liver, not good. And someone replies, it's definitely him then. So they can tell by how bad of a condition his liver was in.
He also smoked filterless Turkish cigarettes in a lot of the books.
Well, he's a powerhouse, man. He's not human. He may be an alien for all we know. But anyhow, they did a study on that. I just had to clean that stuff out of my junk drawer. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I would like to now, though... invite you, if you are an aficionado of the Preston and Steve Show, to our event called the Christmas Miracle.
It's a Christmas Miracle!
Yeah!
Yeah!
It is next Thursday, and I have a pair of tickets, but only you, the caller, can be a potential contestant on Contestants Row for our contest that we do for some of our biggest prizes of the year. It's next Thursday, the 20th. You have to be at least 21 years of age and make sure that you're available through the morning. And don't forget that it is the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. So wear an ugly sweater. You might win a prize for that alone. So let's take eight callers right now. 215-263-WMMR. We'll put you on the list. It's going to be bigger and better this year. More people. We are in the Excite Center, which can house many more people. So it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 people in the audience.
It's going to be a lot.
Yeah, so we'll get you on board. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Cool gifts are what Worldwide Stereo is all about. Wrap a genuine surprise and wow someone all year long. Montgomeryville, Ardmore, and online at worldwidestereo.com.
Hey gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get them a gift card from Hannah Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Professional lacrosse is back in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man.
I love it.
And I'm glad they stuck with the name, the Wings. We used to love going to the Wings games.
Went to a lot of them. And as I said, between hockey and lacrosse, that's the sport that I've seen the most with my wife. She loves both.
And it remains to be seen how it's going to be presented because the season doesn't start in Philadelphia till Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious as to the new presentation and all the things. I was like, they always played music during the entire game.
Yeah, there's rock playing and while the game plays on.
A lot of action taking place. So we're meeting two new friends here. They are from your Philadelphia Wings. Please welcome Anthony Joachim and Chris Klucher, who are here as well. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Did I say your name right, Chris?
Klucher.
Klucher.
Son of a bitch.
I was like, Cloutier? He's like, no, it's Cloutier. And he's like, ah, whatever.
And it's Joakim, too, by the way.
Joakim!
You son of a bitch.
All right. So far off to a bad start.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you Canadians, man.
With your names that you want pronounced properly.
They've been butchered.
No doubt.
But, sorry. Anthony, you are from Canada, but you played your college lacrosse right down the street here. Yeah. St. Joe's.
Yeah, went to St. Joe's, graduated last spring, actually, so it's good to be back.
Nice.
Love the city, for sure.
When you were going to St. Joe's, where'd you live? On campus? Or
First 2 years on campus, and then Manayunk, the second two there.
Really? Mm-hmm. I might have seen you walking around town. I was in Manayunk for a while. Yeah. No, nice. it's cool. I guess they sort of make you, if you live on campus, that's the rule, right, for the first?
Yeah, the first two on campus, and then you have the option to go and live off campus or live on campus still.
Yeah, yeah. I assume most people want to get off campus.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
How was St. Joe's lacrosse team? Did you guys do well? Or
We did well. Okay. Yeah. 3 out of my 4 seasons, we had 10-plus winning seasons.
Nice. Cool.
Never won a conference championship. That's the one thing we always planned on getting. Nice. Came short a couple times, but, cool. I mean, turned the program around, too. So it was a lot of fun. Taylor Ray there, kind of.
Where were your spots in Manayunk, and have you visited them since you've been back?
No, I haven't been back yet. I know a couple of my buddies, they still live there, and so I'm definitely going to have to pop back down to Manayunk soon and see them.
You can let the other teammates in on it. So, well, that's cool. We're very excited. I mean, Preston, you know, said rightfully so that over the years we've had a good relationship with the Wings. And are you guys just, or are you already sensing? And a lot of people are very excited about the return. Are you sensing that as well? Have you been able to, you know, sop some of that up?
Yeah, actually, it was funny. The draft was here, and I got drafted this year. The draft was at Xfinity Live there, and in our Uber on our way back from the draft,
the Uber driver has season tickets.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, nice. It was just cool to see that, like, there was already a, like, built-in
fan base. And we had to take a pause for a while. So I think that, in a way, that sort of, you know, distance lends enchantment. And I think a lot of people said, okay, now I'm getting on board, you know, with the return. So
now,
that's cool.
Now, Chris, you played with Denver last year?
North Carolina.
Oh, it was North Carolina?
Oh, no, no. You're talking about MLL?
Yeah, different
league. Played with Denver.
But you won championship with those guys, right?
Yeah, with Denver, yeah.
Yes, correct.
And you also won the championship with your college team.
Yes.
And in fact, you had the game-winning goal?
Yeah, yeah.
Here at the link?
Here at the link. Yeah, it was definitely the best experience of my life, that one.
Besides that Uber ride.
Yeah. of course.
Yeah, nice. Preston, we used to talk about this when you know, in the days, you know, prior to this go-around. Thousands of people would pack in to see it. There was a strong fan base, and then I forget exactly what prompted the
I remember when I first moved to Philadelphia, you know, it was over 20 years ago, and they used to play at the Spectrum.
Yeah.
And one of the first professional sporting event I went to in Philadelphia was a Wings game, and it was sold out.
Yeah.
It was the Spectrum completely full, and people were going crazy. And I, being from the Midwest, I was familiar with lacrosse. I'd never seen it played before. I'll never forget it because I don't know who the Wings were playing, but I remember at one point another player on the other team was down on the ground, and one of the guys from the Wings comes over and stepped on the guy's head.
Yeah.
Like to step over him on purpose. And I'm like, I'm in. This is you got me, man. I'm sold.
So the difference with, if you're not familiar with lacrosse, is that when you get, like, comparing to hockey, when you get it and there's a hockey fight, you still have to deal with the ice inertia. Mm-hmm. You're locked. When brawls take place in lacrosse.
Yeah, you got good footing.
Yeah, you got good footing. Yeah. And you see, I mean, listen, not that you go there exclusively for that, but it is a physical sport that keeps moving. To me, you know, and that is part of the thrill. And Philadelphia audiences and fans, you know, really get behind, you know, you're going to experience it. And obviously you have it at some level.
Definitely.
You know that there's a passion there.
Anthony, you're a defenseman. Are you a scrapper?
No, I like to be a little chippy, but I can't say I've gone to any, I haven't had a pro fight. I've had a couple in junior growing up, but
yeah.
I was actually talking to Chris earlier saying that I kind of want to see if I still got it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what about you, Chris? You knock it around a little bit? I mean, you're a forward, but...
Yeah, not really. I'm a little bit chippier on setting picks, and I like to set hard picks, but other than that, I would kind of stay out of it.
You do. Those guys who are, though, the ones who will throw down, there's a very fraternal, I think, as with hockey, there is a much greater level of a fraternal, you know, relying on each other.
Yeah. Do you guys have goons in the sport?
We've kind of got away from it, the league has, but guys will still, every once in a while, it's more kind of in the spur of the moment, energy rises, guys kind of get pissed off at one another, and then we'll drop them. But there's not, like, as many set fighters in the league anymore.
Because it moves fast. It moves fast.
Yeah, through our junior career, like, each team, when we were growing up in junior A, each team had a set fighter who his sole job was to go out there and... When someone got dirtied on the floor, they'd have to go, you know, set them straight.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, I want to ask you guys about your careers leading up to college. I have somebody that I grew up with whose son signed a letter of intent for college as a freshman in high school. I'm like Syracuse, an actual really decent program. And so, you know, here's somebody who... You know, the professionals are projecting that he's going to, you know, be something.
Be worth something.
At 13, 14 years old. Were you guys showing that promise at a young age like that?
We kind of both had a special situation. We both went to the same kind of prep school that kind of...
Is it Ontario?
In Ontario. Yeah. It's called the Hill Academy. And basically... When we went there, each class was like 100%. Every kid got recruited to the States.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that why you would go to that school?
Yes, exactly. Because
it was a lacrosse entree?
Yes. Yep. And we only went there, like I went to a regular Catholic school with no lacrosse at all in the school. And then went there my grade 12 year or senior year and my PG year. And he only went for his PG year. But
what is PG? I'm sorry.
Post-grad. So, okay. Yeah, my situation, same deal. I was Catholic school. No lacrosse there either. It's not as big, the field, lacrosse, like in Canadian high school. So, you know, I got reached out by the Hill Academy saying, like, what's the plan? Like, do you want to go to the States? It's like, obviously, that's kind of the goal.
Do they start prepping? I mean, because so you're there for that intent. Do they do they start also trying to give you sort of an understanding of the of the nature of professional lacrosse and the business and how to, you know, because there so many people get into a sport and they're not aware with, you know, I mean, listen, it's obviously a career choice and so on and so forth, but it's not like you're, you know, you're an NFL player. It's you know, it's not multi-million dollar contracts.
Yeah, no.
And so you've got to, their thing. Do they prep you for that in this school?
Yeah, like they kind of, like Brody Merrill, actually, he started out his career in Philly a long time ago.
Right.
He's one of the best to ever do it. And he and like every coach there has played professional lacrosse at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. So they kind of know what they're talking about, been there, done that, and they kind of lay a groundwork for what to expect.
Yeah, like at 13, 14 years old, you know, if you know that's what you want to do, you can you want to get the most information you can.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like when I started getting like really serious when I got recruited, I had the mindset that like I would probably have to get something else on the side to, you know, supplement lacrosse and do it both. I knew I always wanted to keep playing lacrosse, but I knew I'd have to start working towards something to supplement on the side.
It kills me because it is such a fun sport to watch. It's so good. Mm-hmm. And it has so much that people find in other things, you know. Again, Preston, we were down on the, I think we were doing down for some demonstration, so on and so forth. When that freaking ball's coming at you.
Oh, dude. You hear it hit the boards, you know how hard. You know how hard it's coming.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's heavy and it can take you out. How long is the roster you guys been playing together? The full team now. Have you guys been playing for, I mean, as far as training goes?
It's only been 2 weeks.
Couple weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
So with the, there was like that kind of holdout, lockout situation with the NFL this year. So that unfortunately prevented us from getting together earlier and having a regular preseason like
it would normally have been
the whole month of November. So we're kind of a little bit behind on that.
Has it been long enough to pick up any nicknames yet amongst you guys? So I got to go with Klooch, right? Is that what people call you?
That's what people call me.
Okay, and then how do you pronounce your last name again?
Jokum.
The Joker.
Joker? Or
you got to get
one,
that right, yeah?
Either one, yeah.
All right.
Joker, Joke.
So do you think the Joker went to ballet, or did he just run away?
Yes. And Batman smells, Robin lays an egg, the Batmobile lost a wheel. Now, what's the next line after that?
It may not be a Canadian thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a Canadian thing?
I don't know.
He's too young.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah.
We had that. We had a debate earlier. Yeah. You were going to say something, Case?
I don't know if I was going to say something,
okay,
Preston.
You know
what I will say is the new jerseys are awesome.
Yeah, they added a little like gold tan into
it. It's a little more metallic. Yeah. I dig it. Yeah. A little more formidable.
Yeah.
The last thing you want to look like is like a sparrow. Yeah. You want to look like a bird of prey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I like the stitching on the logo, how it looks like more authentic.
Yeah.
And it's not just kind of like in the...
It's not like screen printed on.
Yeah. Silk screen.
Has anybody mentioned to you a very rabid fan named Chopper yet? Have you guys heard about him? Because I'm wondering if he'll be... You guys remember Chopper?
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember Chopper. Yeah,
Chopper was...
Yeah. Chopper on one side, and then there was somebody else on
like
the other.
Like Morpheus, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
There was a guy dressed like Morpheus from the Matrix, and they'd be on either sides of the arena, and they would get the crowd going. I don't think they were paid. They were just psycho fans.
Yep.
And I'll bet you Chopper makes it back right. Is this him in the helmet? Yeah, that's Chopper.
You know what they need, Preston? And you should have it. And fans listening, and maybe there is like a Sons of Ben for the Union, the soccer team.
Well, they have the new mascot, which is Wingston. And was Wingston at our wedding? He was at the wedding, right?
Yeah, he was.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris was at the wedding, too. He was outside helping out with food.
I was there with Trevor Baptiste. He's played college for Denver. But, yeah, we were there for the wedding.
And did that freak you out?
It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Like, what was it, 60 couples? Or
Yeah. And every mascot we could find.
Yeah. Well, listen, the home opener is on Saturday. Now, there's a new thing that's going on. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. Do you realize that they have a hot tub that people can watch you guys in?
Yes.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to do. I have two 4-packs of hot tub tickets to give away for the Wings Welcome Home opener this Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock game. You guys are playing Buffalo. Hot tub. I am going to let Anthony pick a number caller, and then, Chris, you pick a number caller because we have two different four packs to give away. So, Anthony, what number caller do you want?
I'll go with number 6.
All right, number 6. And then, Chris, pick a higher number than that. Any number you want.
Any number.
Not over, like, 50 or anything.
A trillion
like
would
that.
Not be good.
So,
25.
All right, caller 6 and caller 25. You each get a 4-pack of tickets to sit in the hot tub. 215-263-WMMR. Somebody was telling me something they wanted, like, eventually start filling it with weird stuff like baked beans and whipped cream. And
I think I want just regular water.
And stuff like that. But I think, are we doing just water for this first game? Okay, just water for the first game. Good. Good to know. You may want to know.
Yellow's coming later.
What type of Jello?
Bathing suit you want.
All right. So as far as the league is concerned, who's the reigning champion? What team is the reigning champion? Are you guys aware?
Saskatoon.
Okay.
Saskatchewan.
Sorry.
Yeah, Saskatchewan is okay.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, we just got a text. Yes, Chopper has season tickets.
There you go.
Are
you
good? Just checked in. Who's the league rival for the Wings? Have we established that yet, or do you guys know who
it was?
Might
Buffalo
be?
For a while. Who you're playing on Saturday?
I guess so. Not a fan of any team, to be honest.
Okay.
There you go. That's the attitude.
Like the New England, the bus trip one. Too.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like a. I consider it like a Duke UNC rivalry, just because they're so close.
Okay. All right.
Well,
could be something like that.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, you guys are you're just a couple of weeks in of getting to know everybody and having time to gel. But the game is this weekend. But I'm just excited the sport's back in town, and it's
absolutely
it's a fun event to go to take the family to. There's lots of music and all kinds of things going on, so it's really cool.
It's also a little bit more cost saving.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this city. It's been a mecca for lacrosse for a long time. The city and the surrounding area, and for us to not have a professional team,
it's criminal.
Yep. I think that's actually a great way to put it. It's criminal, and the fact that we have a pro team back here in Philadelphia is just awesome.
Nice. So nice to meet you guys. I'm sure we'll see you as the season goes on. I appreciate it, and good luck with everything.
Yeah, thanks
awesome.
For having
thanks
us.
For
thanks
having
for being
us.
Here. All right, it's Anthony Jokum and Chris Cloutier.
Yeah.
I got it. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Here we go. Here comes the MMR.
What's going on?
Join Casey Boy Thursday from 7 to 9 as the Bud Light Philly Tour takes over Duffer's Tavern, 192 PA 352 in Glen Mills. Catch the game and win Eagles tickets, an autographed helmet courtesy of Bud Light, and Bud Light Philly special t-shirts. Visit WMMR.com/Philly to see when the Bud Light Philly Tour is coming to your neighborhood.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
I want to give away my last $50 Duffer's Tavern gift card that I have to give away. And we'll take caller number 12, 215-263-WMMR. It's your chance to meet Casey Boy. Yay! Win Eagles and Texans tickets and some signed Eagles merchandise tomorrow night at the Bud Light Philly Tour at Duffer's Tavern. And 7 to 9 p.m. is when Casey will be there. If you've never been to Duffer's, how dare you? They're at Route 352 and 926 in Glen Mills. So Case will be there in Delco to hang out with
I'm
you.
Excited.
Right down the street from our old radio station.
Yeah.
Wow. Y100 was right up the street from there.
It's wild when you're in that area.
So we will set you up with that. Caller number 12. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Patient First. Physicians, x-rays, lab tests, and prescription drugs. 19 medical centers conveniently located in eastern Pennsylvania and South Jersey. Visit patientfirst.com. Lee, we'll start with this one. Sheriff's office is searching for a sandwich thief who they say shoved a foot-long down his pants.
A foot-long down his pants.
Yeah. It was at the crime happened at the Marathon gas station. Deputies are still searching for the man in surveillance footage. According to the post on the sheriff's office Facebook page, the man went into the gas station and concealed a foot-long sandwich in the front of his pants.
By the way, you can keep that.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Florida man.
Deputies
Florida
say
man.
The Florida man bought a Polar Pop and left without paying for the sandwich.
Listen, I work for Vivid Entertainment, and I think I want to offer you a contract.
That's right. He just sees him with his foot long underneath his pants. Okay, so sometimes an innocent mistake is hilarious. Last Thursday, a mom in Scotland was embarrassed when she realized she had sent her 5-year-old son to school to participate in a nativity scene, and she accidentally gave him a sex doll to take along with it.
Wow.
And I'll explain. Helen Cox says that she purchased an inflatable sheep on Amazon in November without realizing what it actually was. Until her son Alfie was sent home from school because of it.
We found out what the humming is. The sheep's ass is vibrating.
Since learning of the incident, Amazon has removed the item from its website, saying that the seller did not meet the retailer's guidelines.
Oh, we're looking at it. Yeah, it is.
Oh, but the little boy is so cute.
It is cute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, ghosts don't make great husbands. Irish Jack Sparrow impersonator Amanda Sparrow Large.
God, do I hate Jack Sparrow impersonators.
She had married an 18th century ghost named Jack back in January. At the time, the 46-year-old woman said she had never felt a connection to anyone like she had with this ghost.
Because she's an idiot.
Yeah, but things are apparently over, as she wrote on social media. She wrote, "I will explain all in due course, but for now, all I want to say is be very careful when dabbling in spirituality. Something to mess with."
She left him for an inflatable sheep.
Oh, wow. Well,
look at this woman. Jesus Christ.
Happy. Yep. All right. A woman has gone viral online for allegedly canceling her baby shower because her family and friends were unsupportive of her choice of the baby name. Now, the baby's name was going to be Squire Sebastian Senator.
And it's not overly kooky.
Well, I'll explain. She wrote, "Dear members of the Squire Sebastian Senator baby shower, I have a really important announcement to make. It brings me pain to have to tell you this, but I'm canceling the event." The unidentified woman goes on to explain her decision, stating that her friends have been spreading rumors and lies. She said, "Y'all have been talking S about my unborn baby, an unborn child. How can you judge an unborn child?" The mother shares that she was not crazy or mentally unstable or drunk when she chose the unique three-name moniker, which she emphatically points out is only his first name.
What?
He will not be allowed to have a nickname. He is to be called by his full and complete first name.
Oh, well, so now it is kind of dumb.
That's the explanation I wanted to get to. Squire Sebastian Senator is what you would have to call him every time you address him.
No. I would not attend that shower either.
And the woman defended her choice, claiming that her family is descended from a long line of both squires and senators.
Oh, morons.
She said, "If you look back in our family tree, the survival of this clan is literally rooted in squiredom.
Highlander?
We are all related to senators, too," she writes. "This name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success. My baby's name will be a revolution," she wrote.
Wow.
The woman concludes her lengthy Facebook rant calling her family fake and claiming that her name choice will make her son extraordinary. Those on Reddit were about as kind as the woman that claimed her family was. Several on the forum website ridiculed the mother over the name that she chose for her unborn child, saying, "No one's talking as about your unborn baby. They're talking as about your poor naming choices."
Yeah.
And another person commented, "This could be the first child to run away from home before he's born."
It's quite conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the misery the kid's going to go through with that name.
Well, I mean, and then like when he starts to act up,
yeah,
and she has to call him by his full three names,
yeah, mm-hmm,
it's going to get old real quick.
Even she's going to drop back.
Let's see. Doctors are bewildered as to how an extraordinarily shaped blood clot came out of a patient.
Saw this.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. On Monday, the New England Journal of Medicine tweeted a startling picture as part of its Images in Clinical Medicine photo series, which features photos of medical anomalies. The photo, upon first glance, is eerily engaging, resembling a red tree that may have sprouted from the imagination of Tim Burton. But it's not anything fantastically fictional. It's a real blood clot that came out of the body of a human being, as is the exact shape of a lung passage. More specifically, it is a 6-inch wide unbroken cast of the right bronchial tree, part of the tubular network that distributes air to the lungs. It's pretty wild.
Totally tubular.
An unnamed 36-year-old male patient who had been admitted to the ICU for aggressive end-stage heart failure spontaneously coughed up the medical marvel.
Wow.
According to George Weislother, who's a transplant and pulmonary surgeon. He said it occurred after the patient had been coughing up much smaller clots for days. When this particular clot came out of the patient, it was instantly oddly shaped, and it was folded in on itself. And when he and his team delicately spread out the clot, they discovered that the architect of the airways had been retained so perfectly that they were able to identify it
as the
right bronchial tree based solely on the number of branches and their alignment. Isn't that wild?
That is crazy. So that is basically a mold of his bronchial passage.
That is correct, yes. Unfortunately, the patient who coughed up the curious clot died. That was from complications of heart failure a week later.
Oh, my God.
Though the clot is extremely unusual, it's not completely unheard of, but it's a pretty wild-looking photo. And that is it. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. So we're going to take a break, and let's do the secret text word. Okay. I will eventually give this away, Case. We got another thing to give away. But I want to do the secret text word. Kathy, if you could give me a number caller, please.
Caller number 19.
All right, 19. If you know the secret text word, you should start calling now. Let's see if you can get through, be our proper caller, give us a proper word, and get you that prize. We'll pick a random text or two. Coming back with that and more. We'll return in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Brian Setzer Orchestra on 93.3 WMMR. I love that guy. He's a great singer.
That's a great
phenomenal guitarist. And his big band stuff is wonderful, too.
Isn't he back? Isn't he in the area soon?
No, he already came through.
Son of a bitch.
Right before the camp out because we wanted to have him out. And we weren't able to because he wasn't in town at the proper time. But I still got to get out and see his big band sometimes. Wonderful. Speaking of jingle bells, you want to hear a couple of people that sent in their presidency versions?
Yes, please.
Of the lyrics. I only got a couple of them, but...
Do you want music by any chance?
No, I don't. Okay. I'll just read them to you. Jingle bells, Preston Swell, Steve is A-OK, Marissa, Casey, Nick McElvoy, and Kathy make my day. If you listen every day, then you deserve a shart. Listen to their morning show on WMMR.
Hey! That's cute. Good. It's very cute,
isn't it?
It's very ABC family.
And then, where'd the other one go?
The one that uses the C word.
No, but it does use a lot of F-bombs.
Oh, does it? All right.
And this is all dedicated to me. It says, what the F, you hear that? What the F is this? What's that effing sound coming from? There's nothing on this screen.
Actually good.
Where's that f-ing sound coming from? There's nothing on here. What the f-?
One of my favorite recording sessions. Next to yesterday's.
Next to yesterday's?
Yes, with Gary.
What about it? Oh, Nick, your favorite recording session.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is that?
I can't wait to hear that. We had Jackie here in the studio on Kathy's microphone, by the way.
Gary.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
Jackie.
Oh, Jack, not Jackie.
Same thing.
Gary.
There's a case to be made.
There's a recording that is coming. Oh, wait a minute. What is this?
Those are lesson questions.
Oh, okay. I thought these were lyrics.
We missed a whole bunch of new lyrics.
Another jingle bells. All right. We're looking for a secret text word winner, and we were looking for caller number 19, and I'm going to go to a caller and see if they have the correct word. It's John we're going to. Hi there, John.
How's it going?
Good, John. Do you know the secret text word today?
John Stamos.
John Stamos. That is correct. Yeah. Hang on in there, Johnny boy. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give to you a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook on Saturday, March 30th at the Met. Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Radio presale is on Thursday from 10 to 10. While supplies last. And we also want to congratulate Katie Cross from Phoenixville, PA, because Katie was the random texter that we grabbed, and she is going to get the tickets to see Dane Cook as well. So congratulations to you. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question. We give away Omaha Steaks prize pack, the one that I've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. And let me see. I did not get a chance to go through these. I apologize to you. How about... all right, this is kind of a tough one. Charlie Sheen announced that he has been sober for 10 years. How many weeks is that? And it's not 52, by the way.
Okay. No.
No. It was something completely different. 215-263-WMMY is from the 6 o'clock hour. I will be surprised if we can get anybody who gets this right. But let's find out. Charlie Sheen had announced he's been sober for 1 year. We heard it was 365 days. But how many weeks is that? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, the head of NASA, Jim Bridenstine, is that his name? Jim Bridenstine, I guess, responding to NBA star Steph Curry's claim that the moon landings were fake, saying it's, quote, beyond all reason. However, Bridenstine was quick to note that Curry is an amazing athlete on the court, so it doesn't matter if he's a moron. Charlie Sheen celebrating the milestone of sobriety yesterday. Sheen says it's been difficult, mainly because his chapter of AA keeps trying to hide from him. And finally, SNL star and Ariana Grande's former fiancé Pete Davidson seen back playing the field on a date with Cassie David. Learning nothing from his last relationship, Davidson has already gotten a Cassie David tattoo, and both of them purchased a llama together. That's your Hollywood trash.
All right, we'll go search and see if we can find an answer for this question. And Charlie Sheen announced that he had been sober for a year. How many weeks is that? And I will go to Keith, see if he's got the answer. Hey, Keith, how you doing, man?
What's up, guys?
Yo, all right, how many weeks is that a year?
10 weeks.
10 weeks, yes.
Yeah!
Very good.
Charlie doesn't know.
Hang on, Keith, because we've got an Omaha Steaks prize pack. You can buy this great package at omahasteaks.com for only $49.99 using the special discount code. And that is Preston.
More and more and more. Don't know what I'm going to do.
What year was this?
Oh, this had to have been 1994, 93, 94.
This wasn't Kenny Knight.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Was it Kenny Knight?
Oh, okay. This is the heart of Kenny Knight days of Q106.5.
What's the name of it?
More and More.
More and More. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to look that up?
Yes. Who's the singer?
Man, there were so many one-hit club groups that came out in the 90s, like Rex and Effects. And, yeah, you know,
Labiana.
And, oh, man, there were tons of them. Let's see. Captain Hollywood Project. Yeah, that makes
was that
sounds
it?
About right. Captain, I'm telling you, man. 1993.
1993.
Well, you said 94. So,
did I? Oh yeah, you're right. I said 94.
Were 95. Were you in hell at that point or what? I mean, it was a gig.
No.
You were working at a popular station,
dude. It was fun.
Yeah.
You kidding me? It was fun. What's that?
You wouldn't have met your wife.
I wouldn't have met my wife. I wouldn't have. I mean, dude, I was in clubs all the time,
right?
And you know,
and you
bitches,
were in your 20s,
man,
dude, yeah,
yeah.
But it was awesome.
Getting some major champ.
It was a lot of fun, and while that music wasn't my cup of tea, listen, if you work, like I worked country music for a minute,
right?
And as much as I hate country music, while I worked there, I liked it. You know, and when you're surrounded by it and you're
it's
hearing it
paying
all the
the
time,
bills.
You start to acclimate.
You look for the good in it. You look for what's enjoyable. And you know, there's again, you know, is that the time of the Kenny 90? 93?
Yeah.
The promotional giveaway.
Yeah. It would have been that 90. For sure. The Kenny 90. It was a night shirt. My wife still has one.
Does she?
Yeah.
Who gave you the name?
Have I ever taken a picture of that?
No.
I'll have to take a picture of the Kenny 90. I did. My first program director told me to make up a name, and I did. And I had a list of like 8 names on there, and that was one of them.
Oh, what didn't make the cut? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I literally just started
blister fistula.
Writing stuff down. Man, but that music does take me back. Like, remember Rhythm is a Dancer?
Rhythm is a dancer. It's a soul companion. You can feel it everywhere.
That was like I was surrounded by that music. TLC, they were huge.
Oh, I love them.
Did you wear eyeliner?
No, I didn't wear eyeliner. TLC's coming to town?
They're coming to Firefly this year.
Okay, wow.
In Delaware.
I had a thing for Chilling, man. I thought she was gorgeous. Yeah.
Left Eye won't be there, right?
No, she died several years ago.
No, but they made a movie version of them, and Little Mama fills in, and she's now the Left Eye in the
Little
band.
Mama?
Little Mama.
Is it Little Mama or Lil Mama?
Lil Mama.
Lil Mama.
Like Lil Yachty.
Yeah.
And Lil Wayne.
And all those latest
Lil Za
that have been popping up.
And Lil Jon.
Lil Jon from the Merry Men.
Yeah, Robert from the Merry Men.
All right, anyway. I have music news to get to, so why don't we do that?
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah!
Marissa,
that's
just
a headline.
Marissa just found a headline for Lil Mama. Hang on a second here.
What does it say?
I want to click on it. It says, and this is from BET, their news department. It says, Lil Mama wants to slap the S out of Bow Wow after he claims she was interested in him.
Oh, wow. My God.
It used to be Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Now she's Bow Wow, I guess.
Well, Bow Wow.
It hasn't been Lil Bow Wow for a while.
Yeah, he dropped the Lil a while ago. At a certain point, you're bigger than Lil.
Yeah, you're not Lil anymore.
Yeah. You're bigger, and
but
you can't.
She put him in his place and said, you played yourself, kid.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Talk to the hand.
All right, let's get into music news brought to you by Worldwide Stereo, the not lame gifts for the not lame people in your life. See Worldwide Stereo's awesome gift guide at worldwidestereo.com or head to their stores in Montgomeryville and Ardmore. So Linkin Park bassist Dave Phoenix Ferrell has opened up about the band's future during a recent interview. When asked about plans for new music nearly a year and a half since the death of Chester Bennington, Dave said, it's a big question. And I think the easiest way to answer that is probably just to say, I don't know, and then I can expound upon that. He said, the five of us, we still love getting a chance to hang out. We hang out quite a bit, and I think we will do music again. We all want to. We all still enjoy being together and being around each other, but we have a huge process to figure out what we want to do and what that's going to look like, and I don't have a timetable for how long that'll take. He said, I've never been down that road or gone through that process completely, so it's really hard to put a time or day on it. Jason Momoa has revealed that he drew inspiration from bands like Metallica, Black Sabbath, and Tool while playing Aquaman. In an interview with Metal Hammer, he said that he specifically drew on albums like Metallica's Kill 'Em All and Tool's Ticks and Leashes. He said, Aquaman's pretty metal. He said, I know no one thinks that, but Aquaman is metal. I kind of build my character off of metal songs. Conan the Barbarian was really heavy Pantera, and I'd say Aquaman was probably mostly built out of Tool and Metallica's Kill 'Em All, Ticks and Leeches, if you want to get specific, he said.
Well, it sounds like he knows his stuff.
He also added there's a lot of Sabbath in there, too.
Yeah.
So
Aquaman. He could have been, man. You know, look at the look.
Yeah.
He would have absolutely been. He could have been in Sabbath.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My, you know, my wife's not into superhero movies or anything like that, but she and her friends were talking about going and seeing this movie.
Did she find him hot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, she was trying to show a picture of him to my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, and it was so funny because she's like, I know what he looks like. I don't think he's that hot, and just left the room. I was like, wow. Okay.
Your daughter said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She likes the kind of like the nerd. She likes Barry Allen, you know?
Oh, from the Flash. Yeah.
Okay. Grant Gustin or whatever his name is. Yeah.
He's cute. Are you calling him dorky?
Well, he's a little more bookish than Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
He's approachable.
Well, find,
sure,
find that as a good sign that she's not into the, you know, big muscular tattooed dude with long hair at 13 years old.
Nipples, man. Super hard nipples. Incredible pecs.
But
a manly man, a beefy bear, ready for love.
I like Jason Momoa. He's pretty awesome. I'm stoked for Aquaman. It's due out in theaters on December 21st. We have a screening on Monday. We'll do more ticket giveaways through this week. Doubling back to Metallica, as he was mentioning in that story, their foundation, All Within My Hands, has partnered with the American Association of Community Colleges to launch a major workforce education initiative that will provide.
Why are you laughing at?
All right, I have to ask
now. Just let it go. Just let it go.
We don't have to say names or anything.
What is it? One of our former calendar girls always posts these really close up pictures of her face, and she does duck lips.
Oh,
and Marissa is in charge of the monitor that's in front of me, and she clicked on her Instagram account, and she's like, "Bang!" It was just right in my face as I was about to start this next story. Sorry. So, I apologize. 10 colleges across the country will receive $100,000 to support more than 1,000 students training to enter the American workforce. And the students will then become the first Metallica scholars. So they have a scholarship. Isn't that cool?
The Metallica scholarship?
Yeah. Lars Ulrich said in a statement, all of us in the band feel fortunate that music has provided us the opportunity to be successful and do something that we're passionate about. And we want to share our success with others so that they can find a job where they can do the same.
Wow. Is this just for undergrad?
I don't know, Case.
Okay.
It is
for like master's degrees.
No. It's financial assistance to enhance career and technical education programs.
Okay.
So I think
if you want your master's degree, you have to turn to the offspring.
It's the American Association of Community Colleges.
Okay.
So it's community colleges. That's really cool. And
I graduated Metallica first in my class.
Right. And then finally, the meat puppets. Remember them?
I do remember the meat puppets. I was actually a bit of a meat puppets fan.
Backwater's the only song I know by the meat puppets, but I love that song. They've announced that they are releasing a new album, their first in 24 years.
Is it called Who Cares?
No, I don't think so. The band's original lineup is working on their first project since 1995's No Joke, It's Dusty Notes.
The shriveled meat puppets.
The original lineup is also planning on touring next year, but no dates have been announced as of yet. The album is due out on March 8th.
This is a good song. It's a perennial.
Yeah. Brothers Chris and Kurt Kirkwood have been touring and recording regularly since reuniting in 2006, but not with original drummer Derek Bostrom. So he'll be back, and this is the band. Their last album was in 2013, but the original members haven't recorded together in 24 years.
Has a band ever... What's the longest gap that a band has taken that had a level of success and reclaimed it? Reclaimed a level of success with
new
material.
You mean with new material. Okay.
I can't... None come to mind.
Yeah, if you want to call it successful, I don't know. I know bands have, you know, gotten back together years later and put something out, and it's just kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
Meh.
Okay. Did Fleetwood Mac, because they came back and did Silver Springs, right? But was that an old song that they had just redone?
That was an old song that they'd
redone. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and I don't know. There have been so many different people in that band, it's hard to say. But, you know, you can call the classic lineup, whatever it is. Long gaps. Okay, Marissa found a stat. Long gaps between studio albums. Blondie had a 17-year gap.
And what they see... To come back to a successful album, though, after that kind of gap, I just none come to mind.
Hang on, Marissa, let me see let me have the mouse here for a second. Shania had a 15-year break.
Yeah, but she's a solo artist. Are you counting solo artists?
Doesn't matter. Sounds like a solo artist. Okay.
Blur had an 11-year break. TLC, who we're just mentioning, had a 15-year break. But, of course, Left Eye was dead, I think, by the time they got back around. Fergie went 11 years. Oh my God, Belly! Do you remember that band?
I do remember Belly.
Feed the Tree.
Yeah, I like that song.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good song. Take That. 11 years. I'm not sure if I remember Take That. Janet Jackson had a 7-year break. Daft Punk had an 8-year break. Fleetwood Mac, Casey, 8 years. Cher, 12 years.
Oh.
David Bowie, 10 years. And then you have people like Kate Bush, who had a 12-year break.
The Verve, don't forget them.
Yeah, the Verve. Guns N' Roses, there you go.
There you go.
That's it.
So, but they didn't come back with new material.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it had been written, but it hadn't been recorded and released.
Yes.
You know, Chinese Democracy?
Right.
That was the 15-year break, wasn't it?
It wasn't a hit, though, right?
Yeah, let's see. GNR fans are a patient bunch, blah, blah, blah. Their follow-up to 1993's The Spaghetti Incident took 15 years, almost half as many years. Assurance that it was on its way. Finally, Chinese Democracy dropped at the end of 2008. Mm. So that's a hit. What?
But two down.
Rolling Stones, 11 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, the Rolling Stones obviously had a long history.
Yeah, it says here that 2016's chart-topping album Blue and Lonesome was their first studio album since 2005's A Bigger Bang. So I guess technically that would fall under that because they sold a lot of records.
Well, then if you're thinking that Chinese Democracy wasn't successful, then that would like push it all the way to like 2016 when they did that reunion tour a few years ago.
Right.
No, but he's saying new material.
Wow.
But Chinese Democracy did all right.
Van Halen had, when they came back with David Lee Roth, Tattoo was off of that new album. Was there anything that was actually...
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty much sorry.
Wasn't good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so best bet, stay together, gang. If you're a band out there, it's probably if you're having success, stick together.
Keep it going.
All right, let's give away my last thing to give away. I have an MMR Tuesday Tailgate promo prize pack, and it's a $100 Primo Hoagies gift card and a case of beer. You have to be at least 21 years of age to win. You can score big when you serve Primo Hoagie Trays on game day. Let's take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget, you can click contest at WMMR.com for a giveaway schedule so that you know when to listen next week to win from Primo Hoagies. Not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. Caller 18, you get it. We'll take one more break. Come back in a second. Get ready to wrap it up. Stay with us. And don't forget, Pierre Robert, live from the Met today. He's broadcasting live from the Met. We'll be back.
December 12th, come celebrate WMMR's opening night at the Met, starring Weezer. Join us at Philly's brand new state-of-the-art concert venue on North Broad and experience the utmost in sightlines and sound. Pierre broadcasts his show live on site, bringing you all the grandeur and excitement as MMR welcomes Weezer to Philly. Details at themetphilly.com for MMR's opening night at the Met with Weezer.
Mountain and McGates from Foles on 93.3 WMMR.
Love that song.
It's a great song. It's about 10:40. It is a Wednesday morning coming to a close for us. And weather-wise today, well, partly cloudy skies. 42 is going to be the high. Continued clouds tomorrow. We might have some evening showers on Friday right when the milder weather gets here. 52 degrees, so we're going to be bumping up temperature-wise back to where we actually should be. We really have missed out on a good chunk of fall. We've missed out on a really good chunk of fall because of the colder temperatures.
Here's the edict, the challenge to Mother Nature. Just give us a proper couple of days prior to Christmas and between New Year's, and give us that. And then you can go back to your miserable menopausal ways.
That'd be nice. That'd be nice. But there have been years where we had a bizarre warm spot that happened in the middle of winter.
I remember the
year. I hope that happens.
The year, Preston, after, actually it was the year 2014, because I had the prostate surgery. I remember with Claire and I walking around, I had just a jersey on Christmas Day, and it was about 63 degrees.
I played golf on that day.
Did you? Yeah, yeah.
I went out. Nobody was on the golf course. I put a little Santa hat on.
Yeah.
And I took my golf clubs, and I went out, and I played around of golf by myself. It was awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Isn't it? Because it's quiet, and everyone's, just off doing their things, and it's peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Exactly. I want to say thank you to our guests on the program. Mr. Skin was on.
Yes.
Mr. Skin has his top 10 scenes of the year.
It's a holiday tradition.
Yep. And you can go to MrSkin.com. It's free, and he's done all the work for you. Also, thank you to Philadelphia Wings, Chris Cloutier and Anthony Jokum, who were here this morning.
Nailed it.
That got him that time. Two of the new players for the Philadelphia Wings. Their season opener is against Buffalo on Saturday, 1 p.m. You go to wingslax.com.
Nice guys.
Tickets are selling well for this first game, so that's great, man.
They're almost sold out.
Yeah, so at least the bowl is. Yeah. So they're excited about that. So get your tickets. Go see them. Support the team as they're back here in Philadelphia. Through the magic of radio and this invention called telephone, we are now going to go to one Mr. Pierre Robert as he is live at the Met. Hey, Pierre, how you doing?
Good day, citizens. How are you?
Wonderful. So I guess they haven't got the radio line rigged up yet, so you're giving us a phone call.
Well, the way it is, the only way we could rig it is into a line that you're already using. So we have to wait till you guys end so we can plug in some gadgetry. I'm on it. I mean, I'm doing all this.
You're doing it all. Now I'm going to ask you to be honest, Pierre. Are you currently standing in your living room?
No. Okay. I'm not in my living room. How dare you?
We'd love you no matter what, but we just know that sometimes
at least a minute
things don't go as planned. But you're down there. And actually, this is a big night because Weezer's there.
That is correct. So we're calling tonight the MMR opening of the Met.
Yeah.
And the official opening was a little over a week ago with Bob Dylan being the very first. And then the very next night, John Legend. But tonight's our rock and roll opening. And I'm standing on, I don't even know what level, fourth level, third level. What is this? What is this place called?
Third.
A mezzanine? I don't know. I'm right in the center of the building. Hello? 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 And That was a real sound.
Yeah, the echo is amazing.
It's just astonishing.
What a cavernous
doesn't even diminish.
Room.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. I just loved how you called that woman in the Bizarre File an idiot who divorced the ghost.
Yes.
Anyway, I digress. So here, I'm bumping into things. Here we are, and we're going to broadcast all day here. Was that a crash?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
The phone calls, you know, these cell phones, let me get on another 10. You know, they can do everything. They can wash your dishes. They can drive you to school. They can vote for you. But do you think they could have decent quality audio? No.
It's tough. However, though, and I want you, because I have not been there. My wife is going down. She's very excited to see Weezer tonight. But from what we've seen in the pictures and people who have been down there, they just say it's a beautiful room.
No, in a city that has lost far too many beautiful and historic structures, we had an amazing train station downtown. I found this book that had all these amazing structures that were ripped down to put hideous things, the latest of which was the Boyd Theater over on Rittenhouse Square. We used to have a lot of MMR premieres, beautiful deco theater, and that just in the last couple of years torn down. So the fact that this is standing is just amazing and wonderful, and I'm looking out. There are five levels of these beautiful boxes and ornate workings, and people, even now, they're doing more work in the background. But it's this gigantic stage, big floor, and it really looks to be a perfect place. I don't know what the capacity is, but we'll.
I think I've heard 1,500.
I think it's like 45.
Oh, yeah.
Is it really? Wow, 3, that's far more than I thought.
Yeah, it's over 3,000 for sure.
That's great.
Yeah, it's like a double the size of the Tower Theater, but it's in a theater format. And so I just can't wait to do the show from here. And then later this evening, of course, when Weezer hits the stage. So another MMR 50th anniversary event with that great band, Weezer, and at this brand new venue that's just amazing. So there you go.
Nice. All right. Well, we should get the letter of the day, and we can move on and find out what you got coming up. You ready?
Yes.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
N as in Nancy.
All right, Nancy.
As in bear.
Yeah, as in bear. We have a 4-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ 2019 featuring Shinedown, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts, the Struts, Evanescence, Fozzy, Bad Wolves, Goya's Sons, Jackson's Local Shots artist, Saravo. And that's Saturday, May 18th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 9 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Pavilion tickets are $49.50. Lawn tickets, $25. Early bird special while supplies last. And complete details are available at WMMR.com. What do you have coming up for today's program other than telling us all about the Met and the wonderful things available there?
First of all, great interview with Tobias yesterday from Ghost. I really loved listening to it. You guys really brought him out, and it was cool.
Thanks. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, he seemed nice, and he seemed to really enjoy it. Now all these different, you know, characters, Cornucopia and Mama Smurf and Papa Smurf and Mama Mia.
Papa Smurf and Mama Mia are his two new ones, but they're being received warmly.
Yes, very warmly. Anyway, it was a great interview. I wanted to mention that before we go further.
Thanks.
We're going to have, obviously, a block of Weezer, and that'll be cool. We're going to also do a thematic block of symphonic songs. I thought that would be cool since this was at one point a symphony hall, and it was opened by Oscar Hammerstein of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Very cool.
Which is particularly cool. And we have a request for the Moody Blues, which should also go in nicely to the symphonic vibe of where we are. So that's what we got coming up.
Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. We'll turn it over to you in just a moment. I got to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And Winter Airport Parking, 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Thanks again, by the way, for our friends from Duffer's Tavern for being here today. In case you're there, tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. for the Philly Bud Light Tour. Tomorrow on our program, Bam Margera.
Yeah.
Is going to be stopping by. We haven't seen Bam in quite some time. And also skate legend Danny Way will be joining him.
Very cool.
On top of that. So we'll have that and more tomorrow morning. That's it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.